Record, start broadcast. Live.
Are we on the air?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to figure out how we're on the air because I'm looking. There we go, bitches. What is this? Week 10 or some shit? How many weeks have we been doing this?
It's 11.
11?
Mute your laptop. It's so funny because after going through all the old podcasts, every beginning of every single podcast, I'm like, mute your laptop.
You think I would know that from tuning into Art Bell? You know, the Art Bell show.
Says that?
Please turn off your radio.
Right.
They always say
that. That's right.
And ONA too. There's people always call up.
They get that feedback.
Well, they're listening to themselves, and then they're so it's like a nonsense conversation. So they don't even know what
they
want
to hear themselves on the radio. They're so excited about it. They're like, just be in the moment.
Record it with my cell phone. Turn up that radio.
Fortunately, this is very different. But yeah, I guess we want to hear ourselves broadcast.
So we got a show this weekend at the Tempe Improv. Almost sold out, so if you're
watching. Saturday night sold out already. There's only a few tickets left for the late show. Friday night is on its way. And
Friday night,
once we get in and do press on Thursday. So if you want to come in and you want to see the show, Basel's
hurry up.
Bitches, hurry.
Tempe's always fun.
Because Ari Shaffir's in Dead Punch.
And they let us drink now, too.
Dead Punch is a pool term.
Yeah, I remember. It took me a second.
Dead Stroke. That's a hanger. Pool terminology.
In the zone.
Why is that on?
Do you guys keep doing this to each other?
No, it just started by itself. It unmuted.
On both ears?
Oh, you know what it
is. Mute the computer.
I got it on both things. I got it on this Ustream window, too. And Brian is redoing my website, and in doing so, his fucking master genius self, he's put the Ustream actually on joerogan.net. So if you go to the webpage, there's a little corner link that says live webcam, so you can see it right from there.
It's gonna get better.
And it's on iTunes now too. You can find the official Joe Rogan podcast on, or is it just the Joe Rogan podcast?
It's called The Joe Rogan Podcast.
And it's on iTunes.
Yeah.
So you can get that shit.
Or if you have Zoom, you could go to your website and download the MP3s.
Yeah, if you're one of those Zoom dudes who just hates Apple so much, you had to get one of the goofiest fucking devices ever. Unless it does anything better, there's no need for another one. You know?
What's Zoom?
To the Microsoft version of the iPod.
Oh.
And the people that prefer it, you can tell they're like super Windows heads.
Really?
You know, people that just love Windows.
Because that's mad denial. Especially the old Zoom. Do you remember ever using that where it's like a fake spin wheel? It was like it pushed it down.
Yeah,
it's awful.
It clicked up and down. It was retarded.
I guess the new one's not bad.
I guess they probably couldn't use the technology, right? Didn't you say that Apple is suing people for the technology in their iPhone?
Yeah, Android devices and Sprint devices, they're all fucked right now because Apple owns like 20 of the patents that all these new cell phones are using. That's why you have a phone like the Android or the Droid, you're like, wow, it has pinch to zoom just like the iPhone. Well, yeah, Apple owns all these patents, so Android might be hurting. Android, even Palm might be hurting because their new phones are all really just pretty much stealing all of Apple's shit.
Wow, that would be nuts.
The only one that's not in trouble right now, I guess, is the new Windows 7 phone. So,
maybe why they don't use the patents?
They haven't. They were really smart not to use any patents. They have their own shitload of patents. So.
No, the problem is pinch to zoom. There's no better way to do it.
There really isn't.
No,
there has. But I'm sure there could be like a way that you can make like circle to zoom. You know, and it's square.
That ain't gonna be the same. Circle. Come on, man. You want to be able to pinch it.
Yeah, but what if you wanted to zoom on a part? You could just put a little circle around it.
Not good
like,
enough.
Zoom that.
No.
No?
No, I want to do this.
Yeah, but if I told you that
bigger,
5 years ago, I was like, no, you could go like this.
Yeah, but once
like,
I know that I can do that,
right.
It's like when you have water in your ear, and the water gets out of your ear, and you're like, oh, now I can hear. Like, you accepted the way your ear was working when the water was in there.
Right.
You're just like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I can deal with this.
But the people that still aren't on the internet, they're like, nah, I'll just make do. Mail's fine.
There's a fucking awesome documentary on VBS TV about this dude who lives in the Arctic.
Yeah.
He's one of the last people that's allowed to live in the Arctic, and he lives, like, way the fuck up in the northeast part of Alaska. Like, there's no one within, like, hundreds of miles of him. He doesn't have a car. He gets electricity from a generator, and he fucking shoots all his own meat, kills all his own rabbits, kills all his own caribou, has to protect his cabin, little tiny ass cabin, like the size of like a bedroom, has to protect his cabin from wolves, like it's fucking
really?
From bears rather. Bears come to the cabin because he hangs his meat outside because it's never cold. They don't have a refrigerator. They don't have anything. So he hangs his fucking meat outside And bears occasionally will come into the camp and smell it. So he's got this dog that he leaves out that's supposed to protect the cabin him? And bark. So then he comes out and has to chase the bear down with a fucking shotgun. And he's doing this in the nighttime. It's night. And he can't see. And he's chasing down this fucking bear and shooting at it. It is nuts. Like, this guy is living in the extreme... As close, that's sort of civilized.
Yeah, he can get to civilization, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but he's got a television, he's got a generator, he can get electricity, watches DVDs that he gets shipped to him. He still has not seen even an image of the 9/11 towers falling.
Really?
No. He heard about it on the radio, thought it was crazy, but he lives up there, just him and his fucking wife, man. It's nuts.
How hot is his wife?
She's not.
Russell Peters is watching us right now.
Russell Peters up in this bitch. Russell Peters is the man. He's one of the nicest guys ever. How nice is Russell Peters?
But he's Indian. And you have to deal with that. You can't just let it go. It's there. We're all thinking about it.
No.
What? That's
so rude. He's faking that, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you see the other day Russell was hanging out with somebody cool? Like, I forget the old hip-hop rap guy from the 80s. It's like, it takes two...
Bismarcky?
No. Something like know. That. But he was just like tweeting out. He was hanging out with him the other day. And I'm like,
it takes two to make a tango right.
Like DJ Quick? No.
DJ Easy Rock?
I forget. But I was like, man, that's so awesome.
Someone in the Twitterverse knows. What is the answer to that question, ladies and gentlemen? You know, bitches.
Yeah, ask
Rob Bass. That's right.
Rob Bass. Right. Yeah, he even says it in the song.
FD. Maybe it wasn't Rob Bass.
Now I'm screwed because I don't even know if that doesn't sound
fucking savage.
Oh.
What happened? It doesn't sound like the right guy.
No. Well, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Yeah. We're just talking about how Russell.
Do you remember Third Base, that old rap group? Third Base?
Yeah, the white guy.
Yeah, what happened to those guys?
I don't know.
I love them. I had two albums. Gas Face?
They have two albums?
Yeah.
Gas Face. No, that was the DJ. What the fuck is his name? The white dude. He was good.
Prime Minister Pete Nice. That was one.
Right, Pete Nice. And who was the other one?
And, Gurz, I don't know.
Fuck! What was his name,
DJ
folks?
Guger.
No, I Prime Minister Pete Nice and... Fuck.
Come on, folks, Rob Bass.
Rob Bass, I think it was.
No.
Rob Bass is the other dude.
Yes, Chris, this is...
Okay, well, now I'm just confused.
We're way too
didn't
high.
He the one, isn't he the one that had the MTV show? Which one had the MTV show?
That's a good question.
Was that Pete Nice or was that...
No,
this
that
dude.
Was, yeah...
Well, the next white rapper. No, the next white rapper.
This guy just wrote DJ Boom Boom. You're just making shit up, bro.
DJ Boom
Boom.
There
ain't no DJ Boom Boom.
It's not DJ Boom Boom. I'll know the answer when I hear it.
DJ Sniffles, man. DJ Sniffles.
No, man, that's a lie.
It's DJ Sniffle.
Who are the Third Base is the band.
Yeah.
And there was the white guy with glasses.
They're both white.
Guy, but the big guy.
Right. Prime Minister Pete Nice and so-and-so.
What was it? Anyway, the other guy. Who the fuck is it? It's not DJ Easy Rock, you fuck.
No.
DJ Richie Rich. No. MC Search.
Thank you, MC Search!
Ozzy Tribe, you're the fucking man.
Russell just told us.
Isn't that amazing how your brain just blows up like immediately?
Why? What's it say? Why is it so
Russell
hard
Peterson, MC Search, to remember things? Things? I don't know.
But dumb information, it's like, but then once that information, it's weird when a memory gets awakened. When you didn't think the memory was in your head at all. And then someone brings it up, and all of a sudden, it like reblooms, comes back to life. Like someone talks about
fully
some shit.
Know it.
Yeah, some shit that happened like when you were a kid, and you're like, "Oh yeah, what the fuck? I forgot about that." And then all of a sudden, boom!
And what's weird
is
when that happens, that opens up a lot of these little memories. That just because you remembered that one thing, then you'll start remembering like, "Oh, and I remember used to listen to that guy at the grocery store."
Bishop Desmond Tutu gets the gas face.
I don't know how much. I don't know how.
That was in there.
Yeah. MC Search was good, man. I liked that guy's flow, but it seemed like people would like pick on him because he was white. It was like, and then he became like a producer instead of a rapper, which I think was a huge mistake. Because I think as a rapper, he was really badass. He was fucking good. Like I used to love his stuff, but I felt like he was almost sort of like doing it, but sort of apologizing at the same
time
or something.
He's a Jew. Russell
He stopped doing it. That guy should have never stopped rapping. That guy was fucking good.
Yeah.
The idea that he went on to produce some records, I'm sure he produced some good
stuff.
Well,
a lot of people do that, though, too.
Yeah,
they move out, they go into
different
types.
They stop liking to perform. I can appreciate that. But I think with him, that guy was really fucking good. I really used to enjoy his shit.
I'm going to illegally down both those albums tonight.
I'm going to download them I'm going to pay. I'm going to go to iTunes. I don't give a fuck.
The new Gorillaz album came out today.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, did you say you didn't like it?
I don't like the single, so I haven't
heard that first single's not that great.
Yeah.
All I know is that one song that I did.
You've heard a couple.
I know, but I mean, if I had to, like, identify one. Anyway, MC Search, please come back.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to say.
MC Search. But
come on, man. It ain't too late. Just fucking dust off that hat and fucking let's do this, son. Just step up and spit.
Look at that song fest.
I like rap music, man. I mean, I joke about it in my act, but I really do, man. It's fun. I love that, you know, that they're talking shit. I like listening to people talk shit.
I love that Nas song. That hip hop is dead. Yeah.
When it goes backwards? Man.
That's my landing. No, yeah. That's a great one, too.
I like that one.
Nas is a great writer. But Hip Hop is Dead, that's my landing music. I rotate between three songs. Hip Hop is Dead, Tori Amos, Crucify.
And, question. Really?
Yeah, and Voodoo Child.
Question. What do you mean by landing music?
When I land, as soon as I fucking land, my touchdown, coming to a new city.
Okay,
even coming
follow
to
up
any
question.
City.
Why did the stewardesses let you have your earphones on during landing?
First class, they let you fuck around.
Yeah, man, I knew it. That's totally true. I always leave them on. They never bother me when I'm first class. But on the back, like, take it off.
Yeah, they're Nazis in the back. You can't totally get away with it, but you can kind of play dumb. Like, what? Oh, okay, take it off. Uh-huh. I mean, I never don't take it off. When they tell
the
me
rate,
to take it off, I take it off.
Yeah.
You have to tell me. I'm not going to take it off on my own.
The rate, and if you're sleeping, they'll never wake you up.
I will fake sleep.
My they're like shaking
you know, out. I'll make sure that my seat is up, so you don't. You
so
can't,
right.
can't fuck
that?
With me for that. But, you know, I'm going to do this shit right here. And she'll just let me go. Please. I'm nice. So no one's going to crash because my fucking head.
Why do they make it turn off? Because of radio waves?
No, it's not a radio wave.
It's
not.
Just to be dicks.
I mean,
electric.
They want you to turn off everything. They want you to turn off Game Boys. You know,
they say turn off your laptop
anything.
Too, but it's like, it's on.
Yeah.
I don't know what you even tell you.
It's
closed.
Well,
it's
nonsense. It's nonsense.
It's all nonsense.
The idea is some sort of electrical interference, but I think really the good idea to it is that it forces people to comply. And that's the same thing with putting the seat up. Everybody thinks it's ridiculous. And I used to think it was ridiculous to force people to put their seat up. But now I think it's important because you got to get them to fucking listen to you.
Well, it's very important. If they do get into a tough, they don't want you to like lean back or something.
Please, you're fucked.
I don't know.
Dude,
I mean,
if you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. You know, anything that's going to hurt you is not going to hurt you any less because you're like this than you are like this. I mean, you're going to get jacked. I guess maybe no. I can't see how even in the most furious turbulence it would make a difference. I mean, you're fucked either way. If you're fucked, you're fucked. You're in a goddamn metal tube flying through the air. You know.
Yeah.
I think the good thing about it is that they get you to comply. And I think you know I don't want anybody to tell me what to do, and you don't want anybody to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. We're not going to do anything fucking crazy. You know, there's a lot of people out there that need to be told what to do.
I get out of my seat. Somebody didn't tell me to. Like, during the landing, I'd be like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to fucking fly all over the place.
Yeah, I think people, there's a certain amount of people. You know, there's just too many of us. We need very clearly established rules, even if they're ridiculous. Even if it's just like, it sounds like I'm like a conservative. But
it does.
I'm not. I'm just an expert in retards. You know, I just know there's just so many fucking dummies out there. It's very important to have a certain amount of order to the world, you know, because even though you don't want that order, you've worked really hard to put yourself into a position where you don't have to have that order. You know, I mean, look at the life you chose. You went from like a very obvious, like regular normal person's life to being this crazy fucking comedian where, you know, you make your living talking shit on stage and, you know, you sleep till noon. And I mean, that right there is... Most people would never be able to figure out a way. That's just too tricky. It's too fucked up. You know, like most dumb people would never be able to figure out a way to slip through some weird path to make a career doing something.
By the way, if you're watching your work right now, we're not talking about you.
No.
Yeah. Just see Joe.
Well, you know, nobody really wants to work unless you love what you're doing, and then it's not work anymore.
Yeah.
And that's really the secret to life. And then everybody loves something else, man. I mean, there's a reason why there's lawyers. There's a reason why there's a lot of dudes who love being fucking dentists, man. There's a lot of dudes who love being carpenters. Everybody's got their own thing, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
As long as you find it, then it's not really work, you know? And until then, it's going to suck.
I still get surprised sometimes on the road. I'm like, here's your check. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's like, because we do it so often for free, you know, especially in L.A., How often do you do sets for free? Always.
Yeah. That's when I start. Whenever people ask me, like, hey, do you want, like, feature for the third show or something or whatever, I'm always like, I've said no before, and then it's like, yeah, can I do a guest spot? You know, once I get there. So it's like, you just put me on the lineup.
Yeah, once you're there
$50.
And you hear the laughter, you just want to go up.
Yeah.
It was when we were in Australia, mm-hmm. the flight fucks you up, man, because it's like a 16-hour
time zone's all crazy difference.
Yeah, too. And it's like 19 hours ahead, so it's like literally you're the next day. You don't know. So I was like really delusional. Like I didn't know. But as soon as I got to the club, I saw the people. Whoo! It's like you get mm-hmm. that. It just sparks it up. You know, it's crazy. It's like, man, we're gonna do a fucking show. We're gonna have some fun. You know, it's like you just fire up. You just like, you just get what people. Man, I wish people in their regular jobs could feel what we feel when you're killing. You know,
I can't usually sleep for a couple hours afterwards too.
Man, even you're like dead tired
before I go on. It's like
wired afterwards, especially when you got a new bit. Yeah. If you have a new bit and the new bit is killing, then it just takes everything up to the next level. You know, it's crazy. Comedy is so much fucking fun.
You seen Alice in Wonderland yet?
No. I've heard very mixed reviews.
I am going to watch it at Universal City Walk on mushrooms when we get back from Tempe, Arizona.
This sounds like the worst idea.
It's going to be so good there in 3D IMAX.
Dude, have you not had
blatantly disregarding the law.
Right. Have you not had a bad trip before?
No.
Oh, that's why. Jesus. That's going to be your first bad trip.
Well, here's what I think about bad trips. And I think for sure you could definitely take too much of anything and have a bad trip no matter what your state of mind is.
Right.
You know, I've had bad trips on pot. I've never had bad trips on anything else but pot. But I've had bad trips eating pot. I think it's a state of mind. I think it's how you approach it. I think it's where you're at when you take it. If you're in a good place, if you're a happy person,
to a point. I mean, last time I did shrooms, I started shitting and having diarrhea. And no, that changes everything because you think you're dying.
That's food poisoning mushrooms.
Yeah.
You see somebody get into an accident across the street from you and you're like, no, it's all going bad. Are you doing that psychedelia show next time?
Sure, if I can. When is it?
April, I think April 18th.
Yeah, it's a good show.
April 18th, if you haven't seen it or heard about it, Ari Shaffir is doing, if you live in L.A., he's doing this psychedelic show. And he did it, what was the last date?
Last date was in February.
You got some clips on your website, right?
Yeah, don't look at it yet. I got to make them better.
Never mind. Well, so the idea of the show is most comedians that we know, at least the most funny ones, have had a few psychedelic experiences. And a lot of them have had really funny stories to go with them. And so they're all talking about it, you know, in front of a crowd. It should be kind of cool.
Yeah, they're just fun stories.
My only problem is anything interesting I've ever learned, I've already told. Like 100 fucking times.
Right.
You know, I mean, I always get asked.
That's why we have to do a new drug experience for you.
Uh-oh.
Peyote and Tempe this weekend.
That's the place to do it, right?
Right. We'll find some coyote spirits in us and shit.
Peyote. Yeah, some guy, Dylan Brody, told a peyote story.
Peyote's supposed to be incredible.
Synthetic peyote.
Fighting his spirit self.
My friend Matt was in New York and he took it and he said he could hear people talking in a building like across the street. Like way over there. He said there was a glass window and he goes, I can hear them talking.
Meanwhile, it's probably just like a cell phone going
off. I think there's ways we can perceive things other than the standard way.
When I'm drunk, I can hear things further away, but like in center, like in a bar where I can normally hear nothing, I can center on one person talking.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
When you're drunk?
But people around me, it's all like, but then I just see them and I hear what they're saying.
So you think it's like your liver?
I don't know.
What? I have no idea. It's your mind, dummy. Your liver. Yes, your liver does it. Who knows, man? Your liver is what makes wheat so fucked up when you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it produces that shit. It's called 11-hydroxymetabolite. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's present in smoking it. When you smoke it, it's present. But it's not like a psychoactive levels. But when you eat it, it's processed by your body, and it produces this fucking insane chemical that's like 4 times more psychoactive than THC. That's why when you eat pot, it's so like, whoa. Remember those brownies or the cookies that somebody gave us in Chicago? Holy shit. Even fucking Joey Diaz freaked out on them. Joey Diaz said he had a mild heart attack.
That was the first time. Well, no, it wasn't. But it was the first time I realized. We're all still high the next day. And you wake up. You're just kind of like shuffling your feet. Feel sort of weird. Like you're still tired.
Yeah.
Until it hits you. But you're not high, you're too high to like think it out. So you're like,
I was so hot. Oh. I reevaluated my entire life that night. I really did. I made some life-changing decisions that night. I was so fucking gone. I literally, it was very, very similar to taking mushrooms. Very similar. Just as intense and just going to a different place. It was like, wow, this is strong. And you know how I knew it was really, really, really strong? Is when I laid in the bed and I closed my eyes and the fucking hallucinations were insane. It was all these cartoon characters fucking each other and becoming different things and fucking each other and becoming different things and fucking each other and becoming different things. It was insane. And they were like, the cartoon characters were like a glowing, almost like a neon. They had like a glowing neon quality to them. Like they looked like someone drew them, but then there was like a glowing neon like center to them. Mm-hmm. It was fucking insane. It went on for like a half an hour. I was like, holy shit. This is just from eating weed.
Last time I ate mushrooms, I when I was getting sick and stuff, then I resorted to bed. And it was weird because I went into like stages of like, first I was shaking really fast. Then I went into like a sweaty. And then I got into like a thing that I felt like I was going inside out or something. And it was like seven things, but it was in a cycle. Like it kept on doing it. Like I'm like, all right, next is coming the shake, right? Oh, yeah. Here comes the shake and stuff like that. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's like seasons of the earth, man.
Oh,
and then
God. Like, how many did you go through? Did you
probably about 150 of those things. And each one, yeah, I mean, that's how bad my last mushroom trip was. And
holy
it was like,
shit.
It was sick mixed with thinking I was some kind of season.
How much did you take, dude?
About an eighth or half an eighth, 75% of an eighth or something like that.
Wow.
What is an eighth? How many?
It's like it's usually people do half an eighth, and then maybe later. I'd say
3 1/3.
3.546 or something.
Right.
They say the real big dose is like five grams.
5 grams.
See, yeah. You talk to some people, and they're just like, "No, dude, you got to smoke 7 joints." Kind
of
people.
No, a lot of people think that to get the most out of pot, really, the way to really do it right is to not smoke pot for a long time and then blow it the fuck out. Just
right.
Get high as a kite, and then you have.
I haven't smoked for the last couple of days, and now I'm just gone.
Yeah,
but have you heard of people?
That's just a couple of days, you stoner. We're talking about like taking a month off. I was like, I haven't smoked in at least 28 hours.
Okay. Have you ever talked to those guys that like I don't trip on one hit of acid; I trip on 10, man. You know,
yeah, well, there are definitely some dudes.
What's wrong
with
those
people?
I don't
know, man. But don't you think that we all have different chemical structures to our bodies?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's like
they all vary.
I bet you they didn't even try the one dose thing. They're just like, no, I like. Eat 5 pizzas, man.
Straight to it.
Maybe. But have you ever met a dude who just can't drink? Especially back in Boston, I knew a lot of guys that they would drink and then all
bad
of a sudden,
drunks.
I mean, one drink and they were Gonsville.
Yeah.
They
right.
just didn't exist.
Right.
A girl I went out with once, one drink, she would go one drink in and then all of a sudden she'd be throwing glasses and yelling
really?
Shit and swearing at people.
Yeah, she's the same weight as somebody who can completely handle it.
It was nuts. It was nuts. I mean, it was one fucking drink and she would be gone.
One
drink. It was like she was allergic to alcohol or something. It was something.
That's weird.
And she was completely crazy.
There was one girl I knew that, a Jewish girl, she's friends on Facebook. She might be watching, so I won't say her name. But first time she smoked weed.
Why'd you say her fucking religion, man?
Huh? Oh, she's Jewish. She's
why'd you have to say that?
Because I want you guys to at least have a chance to find out who she is.
Just tell me.
He's going to be going to a
prime time.
He's
giving clues.
Because it's a hilarious.
It's
a hilarious story.
Okay, so it's just a hint.
All right, so she smoked weed at my house. She's like, I'm not good with weed, whatever. She smoked one bong hit. She stood up, ran full speed into my bathroom, hit the bathtub, and just flew in the bathtub and smashed her face in the bathtub. And I'm like,
was she
what?
Did she faint?
God.
She just was
I
like,
with the
I just had to run.
Oh my God.
That was like one hit
oh
that
God.
Did it. I'm like, holy shit, there's something weird in her, whatever,
yeah.
DNA that snapped immediately.
Well, you know, we also don't realize how strong this fucking weed is. We
right.
don't realize because
this is Ohio shit weed, though, too.
Really?
Yeah, this is in Ohio.
Damn. Wow.
Just had that reaction.
Maybe she's just a freak. How bad was Ohio's weed compared to California's?
Oh, it's Mexican brick weed. It's that, where it's compressed, where at least you're like, this. I don't have much weed left, but that one brick, you're just like pulling out tons of
shit. That was a long time
shit.
Ago, right? Maybe
yeah.
it's gotten better?
In
well,
Ohio?
Probably cut it from California.
Yeah, I'm sure it's
dudes are getting arrested.
Yeah.
Right
I was also a broker back then, so it's probably always existed.
It's, you know, the people that get arrested for, like, drugs, why is it they're always speeding? You know, what the fuck
it's
is
like
that?
You have a life sentence in your car.
Yeah,
why don't you just slow
they're
down?
They're always doing something stupid. Like, they're always talking on the phone without using a headset, and they get pulled over for that, and all of a sudden the cop's like,
right.
Why do I smell weed, you know? And then, you know, you pop the trunk, and he's got a fucking giant brick of weed in the back.
Right. Or you're parked on the side of the road with your door open, and
yeah.
a girl's sitting on your lap. And you're like, okay, why do you have a gun in the back seat of your car?
Right,
if,
right,
yeah.
right. Yeah, why are you so nervous? Why
right.
are you sweating? What is it that, about these fucking trucks that get busted and they have like $100 million worth of weed in them? You know, like giant fucking semis? Like, how crazy is
that's
that?
That's like a gamble. Let's take
yeah,
a chance.
Fuck it. How many do you think of those get through?
Dude, I bet
they
a
must,
lot...
They must get through.
I bet 90% of them get through.
They busted one of them in Arizona because the guy had a UPS truck. It was a UPS truck.
Stolen?
No, it wasn't real. It was a forged, a fake UPS truck. They made a UPS truck with fake numbers.
Wow.
They just took the numbers from one of the other UPS trucks, they wrote it down, they recreated a fucking UPS truck. Yeah, brilliant.
And why did they pull over?
Because the cops ran the fucking number that was on it. They were speeding or doing something. The cops ran the number that was on it, and it turns out it was the wrong truck. It was,
so like, no, we're in Michigan.
It didn't match. It didn't match. For whatever reason. So they decided to pull him over. So they pulled this guy over, he's got a giant fucking truckload of weed. I mean, they just decided to pretend that they were delivering.
Hmm.
We're for UPS. They figured nobody would check it. They probably got away with it a fuckload of times.
Yeah.
You know, and then one guy just got a little careless and started driving fast, and he got busted.
You always get complacent. You get away with it a few times, you get totally normal.
And you feel like, I'm not going to get caught.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's what... And that becomes part of the thrill of it, too, I think, for people. There's a lot of people that are addicted to crime. And they think that crime, like selling weed or doing anything illegal where you don't really even pay taxes on it. There's a fucking, a wild outlaw thrill to that shit. You know, some people love living like that. But those motherfuckers, you can't be around them. They're going to blow up. Like, that shit is not going to last. Like, you're not playing by society's rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're running around selling drugs, I like to get drugs, and I think it's awesome that you're doing that. But I don't want to be around you, because if you're the guy who's making his life off of selling, you know, if you're making your life off selling cocaine, like, you might be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you might just be a reckless, wild motherfucker. That's a dangerous thing. I mean, how many people get rich and retire off of cocaine?
I don't know any. None went to our synagogue.
There's a few that you hear about in Cocaine Cowboys.
Really?
Like Griselda, she's still alive. Cocaine Cowboys, too.
She got out and, like, retired? She
got out. They shipped her to Bogota. She killed, like, 200 people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she made hundreds of millions of dollars. She was, like, the
she
queen of
cocaine. She killed
200 cocaine.
People?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really? In overdoses or, like,
directly
hits?
Responsible for, like 200 people dying.
Off her coke?
Brian, what are you doing?
Somebody asked what I was drinking. I was putting it up to them.
Oh. Weirdos.
It's good. It tastes like beer almost.
Oh, it's kombucha.
Oh, I thought
it's
it was a beer.
Yeah.
Just look good.
That would be
microbrew.
No, I guess it's not weird.
No, it wouldn't really be that weird.
Anyway, this Griselda chick's still alive. They took pictures of her in Bogota, Colombia. So she got out of jail. They deported her. And now she's fucking running around Colombia.
Man.
And she's rich as fuck. She's like incredibly, incredibly rich and ruthless. The Cocaine Cowboys is fucking incredible.
I never saw it.
Oh my god, you have to watch it. It's one of the greatest documentaries ever. And then Cocaine Cowboys 2 is even better. Cocaine Cowboys 2 is just fucking nuts, man. I mean, it tells you, it just shows you how nutty Miami was in the 1980s when cocaine was coming through there. I mean, it just changed the fucking face of the city. That city was built on cocaine.
Mm.
The cops, there were so many corrupt cops that one year, the entire graduating group in the police academy, the entire graduating group, all of them either wound up dead or locked up in jail.
Really?
Yep, all of them.
I hate Miami so much.
Oh my god, it's so crazy, and that's why
it's
so crazy.
Some of my least favorite
cities. It's the coke. It's the coke. It's a cocaine-flavored city. There's a lot of cool people in Miami, man. I had a show there recently. I did the Lincoln Theater. It was fucking awesome, man. It was really awesome. Everybody was super cool. The show was nice. But fuck, man. That improv...
Maybe perhaps the worst improv... The worst comedy club I've ever been to.
Ever. That Miami improv made me stop going to Miami.
Yeah.
It was so bad. They would just yell out shit. Nobody gave a fuck. It was just like...
30 tables just screaming. At, we're talking. You shut up. What?
A giant room full of cokeheads. I mean, just a room full of cokeheads. We're not even lying about this. Like, if we had 200 people in the crowd, how many people do you think were cokeheads?
If we had how many?
200. I'd say 80.
I'd say 80 were on coke.
80 are on coke.
Yeah. Another 80. 40 doesn't have any on them.
That's not bullshit. And the 40 that didn't have it on them, they might get shitty because they're coming down.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it was fucking crazy.
Yeah, 80's about right.
That place was crazy.
And Cuban coked up.
And that place is one of the places where I've never heard a headliner get more sabotaged when they decided to put Kevin Meaney up after Joey Diaz. You're talking Cuban and cokehead. That's what, I mean, the audience is Cuban.
Jokes.
The audience is Cuban, right? The audience does, you know, coke. And Joey has, like, an hour of Coke material. He could go on and on about
the
all best kinds is
watching
of shit.
Him, and the way he says it's so funny. Oh, so you'll say, you kind of giggle, yeah, like, oh, that sounds funny. And then you'll see somebody just die laughing. You're like, oh, you know about this shit.
He says shit that I don't even know because I've never done Coke, but it's funny. Just cause
two times a lady on a Thursday. Yeah. You know.
You know what the fuck I'm talking
about. I'm like, I don't know.
But if he does that to a room full of Cokeheads, oh my God, Joey used to destroy that place. He used to level that motherfucker. He was on stage once, and he was spitting, and sweat was flying off of him, and he was telling jokes about him being in one window. They're both on coke, him and his cat, and he's in one window, and the cat's in the other one, and they're fucking looking out for police. I don't think I've ever laughed any harder. And Joey's leveling these audiences with this kind of material. And Kevin Meaney went up after him. And Kevin Meaney, this is before Kevin Meaney came out of the closet. So Kevin Meaney was doing, like, he used to do We Are the World, like a We Are the World tribute thing, like a whole song that Kevin was like Meaney his would, closing bit.
Yeah.
But this was like decades after that We Are the World. Nobody remembered that anymore. And these 20-year-old people in the audience had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. And this is after Joey.
So they're like, shut up.
And, yeah, they're animals. And this is after Joey goes up, and Joey's just leveling the place. I mean, it hurts you to watch. It hurt you to watch. That's one of the worst, like, scheduling of comics ever. They do that all the time. Like, especially, like...
Well, just to punish them?
No. People, like...
Just not smart.
If a comic wants too much money, sometimes they'll do that. You know, like, or some people don't think a guy's that good. Like, some club owners are really fucking stupid.
Oh, they'll be like, oh, Joey Diaz, he's just fine.
Well, what I heard was, I heard got fucked with the most was Mitch Hedberg. Mitch Hedberg got fucked with a bunch of times where they would put on, like, these singing black guys before him, you know, and these guys would destroy with, like, really dumb hack shit. And then Mitch Hedberg would go up with this really weird, unique act, you know, that, like, on paper isn't even funny. You know, it's like, he's got some really great stuff. Like, an interesting way of delivering. But it's very much, you have to set it up correctly. You can't have some guy going up singing and dancing and have the whole audience clap along. And then Hedberg, who just basically stands there and giggles. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
Double Chew Hotel. You know, like, he's got, like, all these weird jokes that are, like, they're just so, you know, so uniquely him. But you got to set it up right. You know, and that's a part of comedy. Like, people go, oh, that guy can't follow that guy. It doesn't mean that guy's not good. It means that their acts aren't compatible.
A lot of people don't have a harder time following the other people.
Yeah.
But those people will have a harder time following people that I don't have, you know,
sometimes,
have a problem following.
Yeah,
it's just certain styles.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, if a guy's, like, really super cerebral and really wordy and doesn't swear and is really, you know, then you go up and you want to talk about getting your dick sucked. You know, people are like, whoa, what the fuck?
Even when Brett Ernst, for some reason, and Caponera were killing, I would always do well. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But when other people are killing, then I have trouble, and it's like, I don't...
Yeah.
It's certain styles.
Yeah. Joey used to have... His jinx used to be AJ Jamal. Do you remember
really?
How good
AJ
was?
Yeah, he was great.
Oh, he was amazing. He's incredible timing. AJ Jamal was such a pro, man. His timing was just so perfect. You could hear the same jokes 10 times in a row, and he still would laugh. And for whatever reason, I think that just got inside Joey's head, because Joey wasn't that kind of a guy. He wasn't like a technician. Like, AJ Jamal just had that perfect timing.
Bang, good cadence,
bang,
too.
Bang.
Yeah,
and it just, the way he would do it, like, you would just be recovering from the last joke, and then the next one would hit you. But it would hit you the right time. Like, why are you still appreciating that joke? And then another one hits you, and he just would hit you with these waves. And Joey was just a you know, sort of like... a stream of consciousness guy. He would just go up. He had a couple ideas of some jokes he would talk about, but he wanted to just fuck around. He wanted to, like, find the material on stage. I think it bothered him that this guy was, like, so rigid. And that used to bother me a lot too. If a guy was, like, had a really strong
too much
act,
of an act.
If it was really strong and well done, it would make me insecure. I would say, like, fuck, what is mine that good? I mean, I'm not that doing what he's doing.
I have trouble following somebody does real, real well with crowd work. Then it's like, because then that's my pull-out move, is to do some crowd work. But then it's like, wow, he just did it already. He did it better than you. So now my one cheap move is fucking taken away from me.
Yeah. That crowd move is a good move if you got a position to go to it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you used to have, I don't want to say the joke, but, you know, there's one that you do where you talk to a chick in the audience, and it always it's just bam.
Yeah.
You know, I always wait for it. Like, when you start talking about that, and then I go, here comes. Like, if you're ever in a tricky situation, you bust that one up, that's just a guaranteed crack in the face. You know? But those are nice. I mean, it's really no different than any other kind of joke that you're going to just... I mean, you're recreating the moment. You know, you're saying it all like you're thinking it right yeah. there and then. But a lot of it is shit you said many, many times before. You just yeah. got to keep it as organic as possible.
Yeah, I like doing crowd work too because it sets my mouth and my cadence to be like, this is me real talking. Like, what's right. up? So, nice jacket. I like that shit.
Yeah, you know? That's smart. Yeah.
And then if my jokes sound, and then I went to the store. Right. You'll never guess what it sounds yeah. like. Ugh, it sounds gross.
Yeah, it does. When does it ever sound grosser than when you're in a tiny little audience?
Yeah.
When you're in a tiny audience, like three people, you see all the problems with your material. Like, tiny audiences are really good to do. Yeah. Because when you perform in front of like three people, it's so uncomfortable that you're making this person talk to you. Yeah. Like, the illusion of a crowd is just gone.
It's just like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I performed for two once. Two people at Dangerfields in New York City. And it was it's the weirdest feeling. But it makes you snip out the fat in your jokes. It makes you get to the point quicker. You respect their attention span more because it's more ridiculous for you to require them to listen to you.
But you also can't pretend like you're doing a pause that might be set in there theatrically in a good way. Yes. Like, I can't even do right. it now. It's not even a bad thing. Right. This just seems really fucking weird.
Really fucking fake. You find out what the fake shit is. You can do a pause if you're really thinking that way.
Right.
You know, if you're like, you know, if there's a moment you're at where you're like, what the fuck? Like, right. What is that? There is a real moment. There's a real opportunity for a moment there. But it has to be real. I think very often we write stuff and we write it and we say it in a way we just know it's going to kill.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not necessarily the way you would say it in front of a small group of people. It's good to clean your act up with that shit. It's good to do shows where people aren't impressed, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's good to do those improv shows, like those Wednesday night shows. Those people don't give a shit. They don't know you're going to be there. They're not your fans. They don't come to see you. They come to see any kind of comedy. And they just saw 10 guys that have been on television.
That guy from Comedy Juice just wrote me yesterday. And he was like, hey, Ari, we'd love to have you come back. I know you did it before. And I was like, oh, cool. I did it once, and the guy who booked it left. So I've been looking to see who get in contact with you. And he was like, yeah, anytime you want. Next week, the week after that. And I was like, how about the week after that? This is Ari. And he goes, oh, now how about April? And I'm like, you thought it was Aries Spears, didn't you? And he was like, yeah, I did. I think it auto-completed on it, whatever. And I was like, it's fine, man. That happened. It's not the first time.
That is hilarious.
You know, the webcam's on, guys.
Oh, look at it.
Tell me a fucking show, man. Tell me a little story. We don't have to stare at people.
Yeah, so my manager called. You know, the guy that no one else knows ever. Except you.
I thought that was a good story, man.
I'm fucking baked.
He wanted to go to Comedy Juice. Comedy Juice is it all related, man. Comedy Juice is the local Wednesday nights at the Improv. Really good show. And there's always like, you know, famous Sean people. Louis C.K. will stop by. Mark Maron will stop by. All these good guys will stop by. So it's a good place to perform. But it's good to do like little tiny shitholes too, right? It's good to do like bars and dives. And you know what's great is that little room next to the Improv. You know, there's the big Improv, but there's that little tiny ass room.
That's where we're doing the What's It Called show.
The what show?
Psychedelia show.
No. I mean in Tempe.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah.
That was the shit.
Did you go up in there?
No, never been
just
up
there. Watched.
Just watched. Todd Glass goes and just does that room, you know? It's a fucking sweet room, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the sweetest rooms in the country, and it's connected to one of the biggest rooms in the country. The whole thing's, it's like a comedy complex. It's amazing that Tempe has so much comedy, you know?
It's also the biggest improv to begin with.
Is it?
Chicago might be bigger now.
Like San Jose.
San Jose, yeah.
Crazy. Listen to me. West Palm is bigger than all.
Oh, they redid it now, right?
West Palm is huge. It's like 700 people. It's fucking insane. You walk in and you're like, what? Like, it's so big. What does San Jose have? Let's see, like 500 maybe?
450. 450? 480, something like that.
This place is 700 people, something like that. It's at least 650. But apparently, it's hard to fucking film, man. That's hard to film.
Yeah, Bruce and Gabriel Iglesias every other week.
Yeah.
Damn, did you guys see that Carlos Mencia fight on his Twitter the other day he had with some guy that was making fun of him or something?
No.
Let that poor fuck go.
What had happened?
It's very crazy how this guy got to him
What did he say to him?
Guy just started shitting.
Like, I own you. I bet you spend more time on me than any other comedians you actually like. I own you. I'm the Punisher.
Anytime you try to publicly show somebody up online, you're like, you're not showing them up. You're both of you guys are just idiots.
The guy writing back.
You can't ever hear a response.
I did that before. You feel like an idiot
afterwards.
Like, why did I waste my time doing this? Like, there's sometimes where you read something, someone will say something douchey, and you're like, I could just crush this idiot right now. And then I was like, what am I doing?
Internet.
Like, why am I entering in? Like, people are just drawing into some silly fight.
I saw someone on Twitter talk about that, and they said it to Marin. And they said, it's like the Special Olympics. Even if you win, you're still retarded.
Yeah, that's like a Disney like picture a of that. That's
you know what would be really funny?
Inspirational pictures. Yeah.
Would be really funny to film somebody. Yeah, still like film somebody have like this online war with somebody, yeah, and just have them going back and forth, and it became so dangerous. And you could go to fight them, and it's like a four-year-old.
Well, that's all it is usually. It's like, who are they? Just
the kid. Yeah, it was a kid who was 20. That kid from Ohio. Remember? Yeah. We brought him to the show.
Right.
He turned out to be just a kid fucking around. I mean, he's a nice guy.
Imagine if the kid
met him. I even like, talked to him on the Jimmy.
You can't tell show. Tone too.
The this kid guy, pulls up he and I had a MySpace battle. And then it was like really ridiculous, and it got put on some websites. And then when I went, he and I went back and forth on even in the emails. He said like, you know, all right, you win. And he said if I ever meet you, I would be happy to shake your hand. I said I'd shake your hand too, dude. It's all just fun, right? And he goes, yeah. He goes, well, it's nice talking to you. Like it ended like okay, you know. I mean, it was like really weird. It's like, you know, sometimes you talk shit to people and you don't really mean what you're saying, but it's like you've entered into like a little contest, like. You want to talk stupid? You want to say some dumb shit? Well, I'm going to say some dumb shit.
It's the only way you can show somebody up, too. Yeah. The best that people that think just insulting your mother will do the trick.
Oh, come on. Cool.
Like, I fucked your mom three times this week. Ha ha. Boom. Pune.
But for comics and like, for us, that's a fun exercise sometimes. That's the problem. Mm. It's like when people know that you do it, like, they get mad at you. Like, what an asshole. You know, he's calling this guy a loser. Maybe you're a fucking loser. We think you're fucking badass because you're on TV. But no, I'm just practicing dealing with douchebags. It's like they're like online hecklers. It's like the same thing as a heckler in an audience. It's really the same thing. You're just breaking them down. For a comic, that's fun sometimes.
Yeah.
I wish you.
I don't do it online.
I don't do it online anymore. I used to. It's just so stupid. It's like you're deciding to get upset and to enter into this little, you know, this little competition with someone who you don't know, who chooses to interact with you that way. That's the way they choose to interact with you. They choose to attack you, and you're just gonna like submit to that and start going back and forth. I mean, that's ridiculous. They win right away. This is part of being like in the public eye. Part of being an entertainer. You're gonna get people that want to hate you. That's like normal. That's
as soon as they start, as soon as you get back involved, you're like, maybe I'll show them up. You won't. No
it's
matter
a
what
waste
you do.
Of energy. That's what it is. It's a waste of energy. Unless you can do it and you're just having fun and it's good natured and you know and you do it just for shits and giggles. As long as it's good natured. But if you're really getting upset and you're really trying to hurt their feelings, like.
My rule too is if you just want to show them that the error of their ways, you never will. They'll never see it. They'll think that they showed you up.
They
don't
might.
Think you showed
some
up them.
Will. Some people
so
will.
Rare for like a reflective moment. You're like, you know what?
Yeah, but you never know, man. You might be able to with no aggression. Like you might be able to show someone like just in a very calm way. It's just very hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard for them to accept it. But the occasional person will accept it. Occasional person who's just confused. You know, a lot of people, man, the reason why they lash out is because really they just want someone to love them. They just, no one loves them. You know, and this is a lot of fucking humans out there, man. There's a lot of people that, they live these terrible fucking lives. I don't know who it was. I think it was some fucking famous guy. Ralph, was it Emerson? I don't remember who it was. I heard this quote. What was it? God damn it. I'm too high.
Taylor got into a somebody yelled at him in the supermarket parking lot because he's going in the wrong way. And somebody is, you know, I got into an accident once that way. And he said, he goes, yeah, I bet you got into an accident when somebody's going the right way. Like, what does that mean? It doesn't prove anything.
God damn it, I forgot the quote.
What was it? What was
I
it about?
I remember. Too much weed.
All right, Tempe, Arizona this weekend.
Hey, going to the chat room, there's been a lot of good questions.
What are the questions?
Like,
give us one, Brian. Send it out loud.
Stop talking about comedy.
That's not a question, really. I don't know how far.
Listen,
you're
nobody
school.
Can tell us what to talk about.
What are the other questions? More of a question form.
Dudes, enough about stand-up comedy. Listen, you don't have to watch it, folks. If you're not enjoying it, you just fucking.
Did you watch the Oscars?
Go on, do your own thing.
You know,
I gave up on the Oscars when In the Bedroom lost to that fucking. Terrible Mind or whatever, the split personality guy.
Right. The Hurt Locker.
And I was just like, what is this?
Won more than Avatar. And that just hurts my soul. Because I know, Joe, you like the Hurt Locker, but it hurts me to.
Why? Because the special effects didn't win the prize.
It's just a boring ass fucking movie, and I just can't understand why everyone thinks it's like the next awesome thing.
What
it's
I understand
slow,
is why people care
boring.
If the movie they like or don't like wins some fucking award.
Well, because then there's a movie like Avatar that's just like something brand new. Like, I've never seen this before, I've never experienced anything like this before.
Brian, did you get Avatar depression when you found out it wasn't real?
No, like, no, but there's a whole thing with that. People missed that world because it's like a form of
depression. Avatar depression.
No. I've only seen it once, mister. You saw it three times. I've seen it once.
Saw it three times?
Three times?
Loved it.
Whoa. I'm just saying.
You and I saw it together, right?
Yeah, 3D. Yeah. 3D.
I love the fun of it. It's fun, man. It was a fun-ass movie. It was like a goddamn comic book, like going to see a comic book.
My thing's, what do you
like,
care?
Oh, man, it's just like the Pocahontas. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. I don't care. No. I like stories that wrap up nice and neat. Like
whenever
that,
people say like the story was shitty, I was like, no, you're right. When they point out the details, but yeah, that was a little, that took me out of it a little bit, but whatever, it's fine. It's
I think
great.
The reason I care is because it seems like, okay, you saw the same movie I saw, and yet you think that was enough to be amazing to win the best award. So it's like weird, because I think I'm on a brave, like a wavelength with people's intelligence and how they're thinking.
It's not an intelligent
and that just blows
thing,
it out of the water. Like, there was a million movies better than Hurt Locker, I think.
Right.
I liked The Hurt Locker, man. I thought it was pretty good.
Best movie of the year?
You know what I didn't like? No. I thought it was a unique movie. I thought it was, I don't, you know, I think probably because of the fact that we're in this middle of this unpopular war, and it was very controversial.
They made a point. It was actually art. They made a point.
I think so.
Pointless war in a, you know?
But, you know,
there's no resolution.
That's one of the reasons why it got extra special treatment. I mean, I think if this was done during, well, who knows? It could be done during a year where there's no war. We reflect on how we don't have war.
Yeah,
there have
been war movies all the time, but
I thought it was pretty good, man. I really liked it. I watched it, granted, while being held captive on a plane. You know, I couldn't go anywhere. I was in my seat. I couldn't go anywhere. And so I enjoyed it. I was actually looking forward to it because I heard a lot of people said good things about it. I thought it was pretty good. It was interesting. It wasn't. I didn't know too much about it, so that was good. I didn't know any spoilers. It captivated me the whole way.
That movie took place 4 years ago. All right, that the scene of that movie. But yet at the beginning of it, he's playing Xbox 360. Fucking fun fact, right
you
there.
You are such a geek. You are such a
I read that last night.
Oh, fucking cat!
My first commercial I did with that guy, Jeremy Renner.
Knocked out my cord.
What's that?
The star that was in my first commercial.
Oh, really? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting, man. So, did you read about this online, or did you figure it out yourself?
Easter egg.
No, the Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah. I'm a movie nerd like that. I like reading mistakes that people do.
Did it say when the date was?
Read it, or you
knew? I read it.
Did it say the date of the movie, like in the movie?
I guess so, yeah. It was on Kotaku or something like that yesterday.
I thought it was good. Did you see it?
It was great.
You thought it was great, too?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what the fuck, Ari?
So you guys didn't sit there and go, wow, I just watched one really slow mission.
Yes,
wow,
there was that. I would have liked
really
a little more
mission.
Crazy action.
Wow. Yeah, but you never knew what the fuck was happening. It wouldn't be exciting if you saw it two times. But the first time, you did not fucking know that guy was not going to blow up.
Yeah,
and it
was
very scary. There was a part in the beginning of the movie when that guy blows up. Spoilers.
Wow.
There's a lot of shit that's happening.
See,
man.
I never felt the tension,
you
I guess.
You didn't feel the tension?
When you
I understand what you're
when
saying.
When they all got sniped on, you didn't feel the tension?
No, it didn't
those
work
dudes
on
next
me.
To them were getting jacked?
No,
I understand what you're saying. There were a couple times where you did feel the tension, but a lot of it was slow. It was fucking slow. I understand that.
The tension parts, I guess, didn't work. They failed on the tension for me.
Well, in your eyes,
I wasn't
in my
stoned.
Eyes, they succeeded.
You don't have to be.
I wasn't
maybe,
either.
Maybe
man.
I was too sober.
I was totally sober.
I was in bed going, oh my God. I mean, I was at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie theater.
I mean, I didn't
see?
Download or anything. Maybe that's the problem, man. You're getting a shit copy.
It was a Blu-ray rip. I mean, it was at the IMAX theater in 3D.
What the fuck, Brian?
Wouldn't it be great if the RIA busted down your doors right now and took you out of here?
Yeah, you don't have anything illegal
some
in your
heavy
computer. Thing.
No, just there's
no.
Just everything.
Just nothing.
Gigs and
what
gigs.
What do you think about that, man? Do you think what? We're getting really close to the point where you can just download shit and put it directly on your TV in super high quality in real time?
We're there.
But I mean, like
I
like,
heard about it. People doing it easily with Mac Minis and stuff like that. And
no,
I know
like,
people.
How are they going to make money with movies?
Well,
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
People are still going to the movies, right?
Sure, I don't care.
Yeah,
it'd be nice if everyone else does except me.
People still go to movies.
Yeah, it's a nice
well,
experience
you look at,
too.
Like, there's
it's
like
3D,
a big argument against it. Was there any copies of Avatar online anywhere?
Yeah, but a lot of people still went to see that. That's
the
whole thing.
See that 3D,
I mean, there's movies
yeah.
that you will download like stupid comedies, and you're just like, I'm not paying to see that. I'll fucking download
dude,
that.
Dude, Sony has a new TV coming out. That's a 3D TV that
yeah.
I tried out at the mall. It comes out this summer.
Right.
Dude, it's fucking crazy.
Right.
You put goggles on, they have a battery, you press a button, and these guys are playing soccer, and the ball is just flying at your face.
Oh, it's just goggles? Yeah, it's not a TV.
The TV's wacky.
My TV does that right now.
You don't have the goggles on. You look at it, you're like,
My TV does that right now.
It's capable. Samsung, you hook up a computer to it, and it renders anything in 3D into the good 3D, just like that.
So when Avatar comes out on 3D, you can do that too?
Yeah, if I wanted to, but... I'm not going to buy those goggles and shit like that.
So how much programming is it? Like, if you watch The Office, is that coming in 3D?
That's a good question. I don't know. That would be crazy.
I don't think the 3D is going to catch on.
Why not?
Because you know how many people, you might think it's cool, but you know how many people are like, you know what, I'm going to buy a whole new TV just so I can have this 3D.
Right. No, no, no. Especially after they just made us all buy new ones anyway.
Look, HDTV took a long time.
Blu-ray's barely still kept holding on.
That's true. Because regular TV still looks pretty fucking badass. And people go, how much better is it really?
You might skip to the next thing.
Really need to pay $35 instead of $20? No, in this economy, you pay $20 and you get the regular one. You know, we give a shit.
And honestly, 3D to me, man, I, like, even when I go to the IMAX movie theaters, I'm still kind of like, you know what, I don't know if I like this yet. You know, like, it's kind of cool, but...
You need to just go ahead and suck some cock. I don't know, man. Just go do it. Just go run to San Francisco.
It's getting better and better.
Run to wherever the hardest cock you think is going to be awaiting.
It's getting better and better and better, but you're still... feel like you're looking through something. Like, it still hasn't gotten to the point where I'm in a 3D world.
I completely disagree. So, I go to that movie theater, and it doesn't feel perfect, but I put those glasses on, and I watch those dudes in Avatar floating inside that room. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. That movie is an event. It's not just a movie. It's not just you go in and you watch a bunch of shit happen. The thing that's great about Avatar, it's like a goddamn comic book ride. It's like a ride, like a super ride at Universal City Walk. That's one of the things I said about it. Like, the acting is kind of clunky, all right? Sigourney Weaver sounds like she's, like, mailing it in a bunch of times.
Yeah, she gave the fuck up.
Like, come on, guys. Are we serious here? Where's my cigarette? It's like, whoa. It seemed like the kind of acting that you see in those rides at Universal City Walk. Like, right before you go on the ride, they make you, like, watch some Back to the Future clip where they explain what happened. We're in a bad situation, guys. We've got to get through the tunnel quickly before the nuclear bomb explodes.
Like, start the
There's not much time. Please, in an orderly fashion, hurry up and get into your chair.
My popcorn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay, but tell me it wasn't lame when they said, when all the other armies came out to fight them, and people were like, oh, we got all the other armies to come out. And you're like, what? Where were they the whole time? I never even heard about them.
They're right over there.
It's totally ridiculous. The Na'vi.
Why didn't you just get them earlier?
Yeah, like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And just, in order for it to really work, they, all these places that bought their HD cameras now have to buy 3D cameras. Like, all these shows have to be filmed a different way.
Right, but that's going to happen, Brian, because they used to have to do black and white. That's what they did. They did black and white. They went from black and white to color. They went from color to HD. They're going to go. It's going to happen.
Why wouldn't it have happened already, then?
Because it's all technology. 3D has been huge.
I bet they might. I bet before it's 3D. I bet before it's 3D, they're going to skip to the next technology.
It's never been that interesting.
During the black and white early color years of television, when you first saw 3D, you probably thought, this is a breakthrough.
You're talking to someone who saw Jaws 3D in the theater. Okay,
you guys should have
fucking boring as shit.
It's still sweet.
When that shark comes at you, like, it's so dumb.
But back then, you also thought video games were like this, that were like amazing.
Right. Well, that's why things improve and technology advances, and that's why 3D has finally come into its own.
I just think that 3D would have been popular in the past.
Right, it wasn't good.
There's no way you guys are going to settle this.
Do you think this new 3D movement is going to catch on and everyone's going to be in 3D?
I think it's going to work? Eventually it's the future, for sure. Movies are way more exciting when they're in 3D. Way more interesting.
It's more layered. It's like
I heard Alice in Wonderland is the shit. I heard the visuals are incredible.
That's wrong. Did you read the article on Engadget?
No.
This guy totally puts a detailed review of why it sucks in 3D. It makes so much sense.
Really?
Like the director used layers in the movie in certain ways to give an effect of depth.
Right.
And then the 3D comes in there and changes what he was doing, and it supposedly just does not work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. So it would be cooler if you saw it in 2D.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he said. He said it wasn't filmed for 3D, and that's what I'm saying. All these things.
But Avatar was.
Avatar was filmed
for 3D. No way. Tim Burton does not know his film is being filmed for 3D.
No. Dude, he did not film it for a 3D movie. That's what I'm trying to say. Avatar was filmed in the regard
to his movie. They filmed it as a 2D movie, and then they encoded it for 3D.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I don't know, man. I'd have to see it.
That's what I'm saying. All this shit would have to be filmed in 3D, and it's going to take a lot of people to go, really, do we want to spend this whole movie being a 3D movie? You know, like Jaws 3D. They had to go back.
Dude, you're crazy. Listen to me, dummy. They're going to do it for every single gigantic explosive
action
movie.
It would make sense.
It's going to make it much more exciting.
It would make sense.
It's going to be way cooler. Every monster movie.
Don't they make way more in 2D than in 3D?
Don't they what?
Don't they make way more in 2D than in 3D in ticket sales?
Oh, no, because you can do both at the same time.
They do.
No, no, tons more.
Yeah, but you do both at the same time.
Because it's fewer theaters.
Even Jaws 3.
And also the 3D hypes up the sales of the 2D.
They had to re-release Jaws 3 in non-3D because it didn't do so. Because
it was fucking terrible. That fucking thing came out, you're like... it was like, there's only like one effect, too. It was so dumb. It was like one effect, the shark coming at you. It was like such a stupid-ass movie.
You're like, we're not in the ocean. We get it.
I just think the 3D is going to be fail. Stop it. That's my bet.
You what?
I think 3D is going to be fail.
And what do you think it's going to skip to then? What's next?
Like,
flying?
Like more better than that. Like kind of hologram? Like projection hologram in your house type shit.
Dude,
like
I think Star Wars. I think that's coming too. I think you're right. But I think until that does come, this is pretty fucking
sick. Actually, you know what I think is going to come more? You know what I think is going to come more? Where wall, like paper LCD technology, where this whole wall is going to be like computer, large size. Computer, this screen.
I bet we'll see that in
Google,
our lifetime.
You know,
I bet we'll see that in our lifetime.
Call mom on this screen.
Do you think it'll ever get to a point where everything is controlled by your voice? Or do you think that that's just.
Absolutely.
Really? But what about if you don't want to talk? What if it's at late at night?
They'll have
work.
It's mic like off, password.
It's like Braille. They'll have
mic on, password XXX. You know?
But you would have another interface, like a keyboard or something?
You just go up to the wall and go, keyboard.
Will keyboards always be here, or do you think the voice recognition will get so good that it'll be irrelevant?
I think eventually it will get so good.
Yeah.
Do you use voice technology at all? Do you ever use that
I used it briefly on my Android, and it was amazing. It was way better than I've ever used it ever.
Really?
It was perfect.
That's what I keep hearing about that, because it's okay with some things. It's okay with BlackBerry. Like BlackBerry, you could say, like, call Brian, and it'll call you. You know, it's pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Which number? Cell.
Right.
Calling.
Yeah, my, really? Like, it's bad in my car. It's bad
in
my
car. Car, it works well.
Yeah, right?
It's bad in my car. I have the Ford Edge. And yeah, and it's like, call Joe. Well, what number?
Calling
Sally?
Calling Dad.
Calling Sally. Calling grandmother.
Calling Mom. What?
Yeah, 2 in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes it's completely off. But I think that's also the noise of the road. That's why I like, instead of the, you know, that when you're doing it in a car, it's a speakerphone. It's like talking, it's not crisp.
Right.
So what I always do is straight from the phone. Mm-hmm. So you're talking right into that little tiny mic. And it's pretty direct. Seems pretty accurate. Enough. You know, it beats like having to press buttons. I don't want to press buttons when I'm driving. It's all gone through the Bluetooth, so it's all, that's one of the coolest things ever. You know, that you could have, you could drive in your car and talk to people on the phone with both hands on the steering wheel. And that's just nuts.
Did you hear about this company overseas is releasing the first jetpack that you can buy? There's going to be about 500 of them being made.
Oh, my God.
And they're going for about 70,000 each.
Whoa.
So I don't have to go above 30 feet, but I'm going to 200.
They last 30 minutes, I believe.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A long time.
30 minutes, you'd be bored already.
You'd have to set your alarm.
I can fly.
Fuck that. Toyota can't even get their shit together.
Yeah, but dude, what if you have a jetpack and you only go 5 feet off the ground? Just keep fucking whipping
around. But
what
if it freaks out and goes 500 feet in the ground and you're stuck like up in the air?
You'd have to have some sort of a parachute, right?
Yeah.
You'd have to be able to cut the jetpack off too because it'd be extra weight. Imagine if you dropped it on someone's fucking head.
No, you wouldn't be able to cut it off. It wouldn't let you.
It wouldn't let you?
Yeah, because you're doing that.
I'll bring a knife, motherfucker. I planned out.
Did you see how many Toyotas were recalled in Japan?
Did you hear one last night in San Diego? Did you hear about it?
Another accident?
The guy couldn't stop and the police cop got to the side of him and was like using his PA's like, hit the power button. And the guy was kept on hitting the power button. It wouldn't work. He was standing on the brake, he said, just like full blast.
He should go in a neutral.
And then
why didn't he put his transmission
in? I don't understand it, but I think it has something to do where it just won't let you do anything. And then the cop had to get in front of him, and I guess, and like, kind of brake his car.
Oh, my God.
I'm guessing.
Wow.
That's one of the good things about a standard clutch. You know, you get it, you can always put it in yourself.
Slow it down that way.
Well, if you have a standard, you have a manual transmission, you can always put it into zero, into neutral.
And the emergency brake doesn't work?
Yeah, I don't get how it...
Maybe the computer wouldn't let the transmission switch gears.
Right.
No emergency brake?
Emergency brake doesn't really...
This was on a
emergency
Prius.
Brake is really a parking brake.
Parking brake, you're right.
You know...
So but you would have to definitely put that on. You'd have to help.
Oh, fuck. You would have to try. But I mean,
he was standing on his brake, too. That's
George Lucas says that he's found things that are wrong with the Prius, and he says it's a software issue that he can duplicate.
Yeah.
He says
he still
can do
deny
the same
it,
error.
He still deny it, though.
Listen, George Lucas. Wozniak.
Right.
What's his name?
Steve Wozniak.
With George Lucas.
Just like what?
Fat old
what's
rich
happening?
Guys. I lump them all together.
How does he know?
Kenny Rogers. Kenny Rogers is
how funny is that? Anyway, Steve Wozniak, who's one of the super geniuses who founded Apple, he has a Prius, and he said that there's an issue with the accelerator, and he can replicate it. He can do like a specific number of things, you know, like you hit the blinker, do this, do that, and it'll happen. And he said he can do it safely. He shows them how to do it. He says, this is a software issue. That's what's so scary about these fucking computer-controlled cars, man. Computers crash, you know? There's some beauty in, like, an old Mustang. You know, you turn the fucking key, the ignition fires up, boom, the fucking tach is there, the speedometer is there, vroom, vroom, you smell the fucking gasoline. You know what I'm saying? There's no nothing helping you out, stupid. You got drum brakes. Okay, those brakes suck dick. They're terrible. They don't slow you down. They're like, they barely work, you know? You got, you know, 350, 375 fucking American horsepower from a high torque V8, a nasty sounding exhaust, you just drive. Stick shift, four on the floor. Everything that got more advanced, the more advanced it gets, the more you're taking chances. When you go to fucking software, that shit just break on you.
My brakes used to go so bad when I was in high school and didn't have money to fix them. It would be an adventure to stop it. From 30 miles an hour, you're like, come on, please, please, no. And just eventually, right in front of the car in front of you, stop. You're like, oh, God. All right, good.
It's amazing when you were allowed to drive when you were young, how fucking dumb you were, and yet you still drive.
The driving age should be 30.
A destroyer, a giant machine that could kill people. And you're 16, you're allowed to fucking hammer around in it. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing that we're all alive.
God! I got a ton of accidents when I was young. I drove like a retard. These cars could not do what I wanted them to do. It was hitting trees and shit. Well, I mean, when I was 16, I was just way too wild to get a driver's license. There's no way that should have been legal. I should have been riding the bus, getting my shit together for at least another 2 years. By the time I was 18, I had mellowed out, and gotten used to the fact that I was driving around. And then I was safe. Between 16 and 18, that shit should have been
totally legal. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, drive as fast as you possibly can for like 30 yards.
Yeah, retard.
And then screeching just no reason, cutting people off. Run reds.
Yeah, it's scary shit, man. It's scary shit. All the different automated things that are going on today. So many different things are automated, you know. What scares the shit out of me is these drones that they use overseas. You know, when they have these drones that fly above Pakistan and launch missiles down. Because we're not at war. We're not in Pakistan. But there's, like, you know, Taliban dudes that are in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. So we want to fuck them up. So we send these robots in space. I mean, this is like fucking, this is really like science fiction. We send these flying robots that we remotely control from a base somewhere. And these dudes are literally using Xbox controllers. Because these kids are so used to playing Xbox, they know those computers so well, they just program the software to control the drones to use that same device. Wow. So they got a fucking Xbox controller, and they're controlling
these drones. Yeah, what if your controller goes out?
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
It just drops over somebody's house?
Yeah. Well, people have died. A bunch of people have died. A lot of civilian casualties.
Really?
A lot. Yeah. These drones, I mean, they're very effective, but shit, man, you're launching missiles from the sky. You know, who the fuck knows?
You're going into civilians?
No. No. These poor Afghanistan people, they're getting jacked left and right. I mean, in Pakistan as well. It's a scary thing, man. They fire something called Hellfire missiles.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's what they named them. Hellfire. Jesus Christ. You know, not like Freedom Maker or something like that, you know?
Just
not
pure
like,
death.
Yeah.
Death with a bad afterlife.
Yeah, not like, not like the strong arm of peace. No.
Coming from below.
Hellfire
to claim
missiles.
You.
Motherfucker. Hellfire? That doesn't make you feel good. The whole idea of the whole war is so crazy. What's really crazy is that the CIA had the president of Afghanistan's brother on his fucking payroll.
Really?
Yeah, and this guy is like deep in the poppy business. The CIA was paying him. It was just recently revealed. The CIA has been paying him for a long time. He was on the CIA fucking payroll. He's the brother of the president in Afghanistan, and he's in the poppy business.
Wow.
I mean, the whole thing is crazy. That's 90-something percent of the world's heroin comes from Afghanistan. 90-something percent. Guaran fucking teed some evil motherfucker in some high, lofty position. You know, I don't want to name the organization, because who the fuck knows who's really bringing it in. I mean, if it even has a name. But those guys are profiting off that shit.
Make money off it. Distributors.
For sure. It's been proven many, many times. You know, there's a plane that the CIA had, and we talked about this before on the show, where this plane had crashed in Mexico with 4 tons of cocaine in it. And it was a jet that had been to Guantanamo Bay twice. It was a CIA jet. This fucking jet had been to Guantanamo Bay on two separate occasions, and this fucking thing was flying cocaine into the United States and crashed in Mexico. 4 tons of coke, man.
Hmm.
So many different stories about, if you want to look any of the stuff online, look up that plane that crashed. Then look up the story of Barry Seals. Barry Seals was a guy who was a drug runner. He would fly drugs in from South America to the United States and drop them off in Mena, Arkansas, in a little plane, and he would drop a parachute. Well, these two kids saw the drop-off one day, and they caught the kids because they didn't want the kids telling. They killed them, and their parents found out that it was a murder because the cops had said that they found these kids on the train tracks. Apparently, they placed their bodies
on
the train tracks.
Run over.
And they said, oh, they got stoned and they laid out on the train tracks. And the parents did autopsies, had you know, autopsies done. They found knife wounds. The kids had been stabbed. So they stabbed these kids and killed them, and then they laid them on the tracks. And so then it became this gigantic investigation, who was flying, blah, blah, blah. They get a hold of this guy, Barry Seals, and Barry Seals is totally spills the beans. Tells the whole story, all the different shit that he did. He's ready to testify. Goes to court, and they fucking assassinate him literally on his way to court.
Oh, no.
So this dude's on his way to court. He's got George Bush's phone number in his pocket at the time, and he gets murdered in his car on the way to talk about it.
Wow. And
this was a guy that was an employee of the CIA. And there's not just those. There's a bunch of them. Michael Rupert is a guy who wrote a book about it. He was an LAPD detective, and something in LAPD. I don't know what he was. But he busted the CIA selling drugs, and he's like, and he was told to back off the case. And he's like, this is fucking insane. And he's written books about it. He's got this website, FromTheWilderness.com, I believe it is. You know, and it's all detailing all the different corruption that, and they're doing it right in front of everybody's fucking face. That's the crazy thing. I mean, think about how much goddamn cocaine is in this country. It's not all coming in because of retarded criminals. Because most people that are smuggling cocaine...
Is there huge organizations and stuff? That's what you're saying?
It's the government. The government has something to do with it, for sure. Someone in some aspect. Why wouldn't they? If these people want to do drugs, you know, what the fuck? Who's making money off the drugs? They probably feel like, look, the bad guy's going to make money off the drugs anyway. Let's just cut them out. We'll take the money. Fuck it. Drugs are going to be out there no matter what you do. And it's all like a nice little cycle, because the more people get arrested for those drugs, the more these private prison companies, the companies that own these gigantic prisons, the more they're happy because more people are in their prisons, and the more people that are in private prisons, the more profit they make. So they support all this shit. So they actually support drugs being illegal. They want them to be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
They push for it. It's fucking crazy. The whole big package is fucking crazy. And the idea that the government is behind it all, that there's evidence of it, just makes the whole thing mind-blowing. It's just so nuts. The fact that the DEA, you know, is like in cahoots with the CIA, and it's all like a big game at the very top. It's all horseshit. It's all just profit and money. How much fucking money must they be making? There must be so much money in drugs.
Who gets the money?
I don't know. That's the good question, right? That's a good question. How many people are involved, and where does it go? I mean, someone in the organization really is selling drugs, is it just every now and then a rogue agent goes fucking nutty and cuts some deal with some fucking drug smuggling killer? Or is it all the time? Do you think it's all the time?
If that's how it gets in the country, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, how many times has it happened, though? I mean, how much cocaine do we have already here? How long does cocaine last? You know, if you bring in a whole gigantic ship full of it, where would you keep it? How long does it take to get it on the street? Someone's bringing it in. It's not these morons. It's not. They'd be getting busted left and right. People that are so crazy that they're willing to do something that insane, like smuggle $1 million worth of cocaine into the country, those people are crazy. Those people get busted doing shit. That's not like a rational
person
thing.
I think they option that part out. Like, they hire somebody to transport.
The more people you hire, the more people are going to kill you.
Yeah.
The more people you hire, the worse your idea is, because the more people that can get busted and wear a wire and put you in jail... It's very dangerous. The smart move to do, if you're doing something like that, is to hire as few people as possible.
Take your own ship over somewhere.
Might be the way to do it. You might have to bring your own ship.
No way some cartel guy transports a ship.
No, those guys don't do it. They hire other guys to do it. But that's why they always live in these fucking gigantic compounds with 15 dogs and 80 guns. Yeah. And, you know? Fucking nuts, man. Imagine that life. In Mexico, they're going crazy. The Mexican drug war is just off the fucking chain. When we talked to Victor about it, you know, the dude, Victor Davila, he just got out, our guy from the UFC who does Spanish commentary, he does my job, he just got out of Juarez. He was living in Juarez.
Gold! Like, that's what he says every time he's a knockout.
Yeah. Does he? He says gold?
Gold!
No,
voices.
No, though. He doesn't. How dare you? Oh, Ari, so mean.
I should have let that go.
Racist.
that was my biggest regret. You're not telling everyone now. You know, Victor says this.
That's hilarious, because I thought he did. I was like, wow, imagine he did if that was his thing. Because Michael Chabella, the guy who does the K1 commentary, he goes, the big kibosh!
Really?
He screams out the big kibosh when a guy gets cracked. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's hilarious.
Yeah, I might
more hooks than a pirate convention! He says, like, crazy shit. He's been mounted more times than Jenna Hayes!
Really?
Yeah, he
says that?
Says, oh, yeah, yeah.
They don't fuck with him? They let him just do whatever he wants?
They want it. The people love it. I think he's hilarious.
That'd be fun to make this.
He's my favorite guy to listen to.
Get some Pinot.
Yeah. He's a super cool dude, too, man. We hung out with him in
Canada somewhere.
Yeah, in Canada, in Edmonton. Yeah. And then we hung out with him and his girlfriend again in Australia. Super cool dude. Couldn't be nicer.
He's Australian, that's right.
Yeah. More hooks than a pirate convention. That's my favorite one. More a pirate convention.
Everyone's favorite hooks.
My name is Mom. I'm from Somalia. A pirate convention. How come we don't hear about the fucking Somalian pirates anymore?
We got bored of it.
They got canceled.
We got bored of
those,
it.
Yeah, those two people ever escaped?
Huh?
Those two people ever escaped? That guy.
Oh, no, the English couple still fucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they still got those bitches locked up. Wow. They kidnapped them. They want millions. They know these guys are worth millions. Who knows what they're doing to them, too? They're probably fucking them.
They've been. They were surprisingly good about once you pay the money, they give you everything back safely.
Yeah, but what are they doing right now while these people aren't coughing up the money? I bet they're fucking them.
They might.
Why not? Why wouldn't they fuck them? These pretty white people, silky smooth white skin, worth billions. These guys are like super, super rich, right?
Want to hurt their
are they? Or are they just like regular, regular folks? No,
I don't
know.
I have no
they're
idea
not the people that were they the people that were kidnapped on their yacht?
Yes, like the guy and the girl, and they were like real travelers
on their own yacht. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's so scary. Right?
Oh, another ship's turning about.
We are in.
Hello there.
In 2010, and this is the internet, so we're gonna find out because I think that's fucking interesting. Because that's one of the things about traveling is that it gets fucking nerve wracking thinking about what is safe and what is not in all these
different laws.
Places.
Some countries don't have our laws.
Yeah. When I was in Brazil,
That
scared the shit out of me.
Brazil.
Brazil was very much like Sao Paulo. There was a feeling in the air, like, you know, you gotta watch where you go.
Really?
You know? Most of the people were very nice, very friendly, a lot of beautiful houses, a lot of nice neighborhoods, but it was also like
the Arab shook. If you go to the market and it's in Jerusalem and you walk into the Arab part, people are like, don't.
Wow, someone from the Navy witnessed it.
Really?
Kidnapped British yachtsman. Oh, he's a yachtsman. Wow.
Woo. Who is this passing ship? Hello there. What do you want? What? No.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god.
She's
pregnant?
No.
She's pasty white. No, she's just.
That's somebody else's leg.
She's pasty white. They're pasty white, rich English people. Oh my god. They must have fucked
We're
them.
Traveling around the ocean and all the good.
So yeah. These fucking people went. These guys are nuts. They went from Turkey through Africa, down through Saudi Arabia to Somalia. I'll put
that's
the,
so far
link
off
up
the...
on my Twitter. I'll put the link up.
Pirates versus ninjas. Who would you choose? Go.
Ninja.
For sure.
What about
pirates are assholes?
The problem that, I mean,
it's do you actually think about this longer than
where is it? On the ocean or?
Never mind, Ari, you lost.
I'm sorry.
Ninjas is always the immediate answer.
Careful. Why? How are they going to take the ocean? They don't have boats, ninjas.
Johnny, this is why it's better, because when you're a ninja, you know for sure you can kick that pirate's ass.
Yeah. They should make a movie where it's like a ninja who's also a pirate.
You're a fucking 12.
Yeah, pirate ninja. Do they have that yet?
They probably.
They should.
You are a 12-year-old boy, son.
Like, he takes off his mask and he has like a little eye patch under his mask. and there's like a squished parrot. Like, squish!
Okay, these people have not paid yet. The pirates believe these people are wealthy. That's what it is. They're not wealthy.
She's
all they have,
hair,
they put into their yacht. All their money, they put into their yacht. Wow, these guys are fucked. Wow, this is scary shit, man. They went nutty, man. These people sailed all the way down
that's
to
the
Africa,
dream.
To fucking Somalia.
With the Suez Canal.
They went to Mumbai. They went across the ocean to India. And then they went all the way back towards Tanzania, and that's where they got jacked.
This is the dream of sailing around the world, retiring and sailing around the world.
My parents did that, you know. My parents went to the Florida Keys, and they lived in the Bahamas for a while. You know, but it's nerve-wracking, man. You're living on a fucking boat out in the water, and, you know, when the storms come, your fucking house is literally flopping back and forth, and it might go under. Other houses are going to crash into it. My dad had to get up in the middle of the night and go out to, in the middle of horrible, rough waters, climb on other people's boats and secure their anchors, because they didn't secure their anchor correctly, and their boats were drifting, and they had to worry about their boats slamming into his boat.
Really?
Yeah, it's dangerous shit. And they had a little sailboat. And they lived on a little sailboat for a couple of years. Pretty nutty shit, man. What I'm trying to say is, you go to all these other places, you realize, like, God damn, we're lucky it's safe here. You know?
Cause trying to say, take flights.
Human beings are... We are only as civilized as our circumstances. You know? And I learned that when we were in San Francisco, and we thought the building was on fire. You know? I was really thinking, like, how am I going to do this? Well, when we're evacuating, there was 15 flights of stairs, and people were going down the stairs in single file, and people were panicking, and they were asking questions, and they were stopping the line, and they were going really slow, and they were shitting their pants. And while this was all happening, you could look down through the spirals and see the smoke coming up from the bottom, and I was ready to jump. I was ready to just start climbing down. I was ready to just start, fuck you, I'm just going to start climbing. People are panicking, and they're not going fast enough. They're like, freaking out, and... everyone's in every floor, they're merging, and you start thinking, like, this is how someone can die. You can die like this. You can get stuck in a fucking fire, man. This is scary shit. Very, very scary shit.
Yeah, that really freaked me out, and I hate going. I used to like to be at the top floor for some reason, like as high as I can get, on, like when I go to a hotel.
But now I'm fire, like, no.
You have like second floor because of that.
Yeah,
you know that. That was one of the worst times in my life. That's the only time ever I thought I would for sure was going to die. I didn't think I was going to die,
but I thought we were in a very, very bad situation here. I was very thankful when we got out and everything was okay. And it turned out it wasn't really a fire, that the smoke was actually the fire extinguishers, because these assholes got drunk at like 4:30 in the morning and just started spraying.
Did you fart?
No. Who's saying that it was him that sprayed this shit?
Wow. It probably was.
How dare you. But it was the whole fucking room, the whole floor was covered in this smoke, and the fire alarms went off, I guess because they activated the thing. So it was no real fire, but goddamn, it was scary as fuck. It could have very easily have been a fire. It's terrifying shit.
Yeah.
That energy could just overcome you, you know? That's why those old-ass buildings, they're not safe, man. Single-fire staircases, fuck that.
That was awful.
They could suck it.
12 floors going into 15. One.
15. I was on 15. 15
was floors going into one staircase. I think there was other ones, but they were, like, hidden staircases.
Dude, there were so many people that were walking so slow. They were panicking.
Oh.
They had just woken up, and they were delirious, and they were unhealthy, and they weren't athletic. They weren't, like, people who, like, can move well. So he would get up, and some people need a long-ass fucking time to get going. Like, they're in their 60s and 70s, and all of a sudden you put them on a staircase, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die because this guy can't walk. Like, you got to walk faster, buddy. You got to walk. There's a gap in front of you, motherfucker. You know, when you, normally there's a gap on the stairs, it doesn't mean shit. But when you see smoke on the second floor, and there's like, you know, 10 feet between you and the next guy, you're like, dude, you got to move, man. What are you doing to my cat?
He's attacking Brian.
You're playing with it.
He has to put his sleeve over his hand, or she scratches it up.
You can't rub her belly. She likes to bite.
Orange Sphere
will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. And now we're going to go to your emails and calls. And we're going to do calls eventually. When are we going to do the Skype thing, man?
Right now.
No, don't do it right now. I don't want to answer any calls.
Fucking Johnny Depp live.
Who's Johnny Depp?
Pirate.
I thought we're ninjas, bro.
We are. Ari likes the pirates.
This guy says, that's why I bring a collection of sheets, just in case I need to tie them together and dip. Dude, don't think I wasn't thinking about it. And the lower I got, the more I was thinking, okay, maybe I could jump out from here and live. Maybe I could jump out from here and live.
Yeah.
And you start thinking crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, your survival instincts, you really become an animal. You become an organism that's trying to survive. You know, you don't really think about anything else.
That's why this end of the world shit's crazy, like when the zombies come and shit, because I'm going to be like the first one to like eat the hot, you know, somebody in our group. We got to eat her!
Why do you think that?
I don't know, I'm just kidding. But
I think about zombies, we've talked about this before, I think this whole idea of reincarnating people after they're dead, You know, like the whole cryogenics thing where they're taking people and they're freezing them like they did with Walt Disney. Mm-hmm. I think if there are really zombies, that's a zombie.
Yeah.
A zombie is when a person dies, their soul goes to the next stage of existence, their energy, their essence, and you just reanimate their flesh. And that flesh needs to stay alive, but it doesn't think at all.
It's like
so
that.
It's just moving on instincts. It's like trying to eat things in front of it and trying to bite your arm and eat it because it's hungry.
Remember that old experiment with the dog where they brought dogs back to life? Did you ever see that?
Is that the Russian film?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
is that? Oh, you got to look that up on Google. They have like this head of a dog and they hook it up to these chemicals and the dog just starts coming back to life.
Okay,
like starts licking his lips.
What was it? Russian?
Russian experiment.
Russian scientist?
Yeah, scientist, dog, dead. Vagina, black vagina.
Black vagina.
A Russian scientist kept a dead dog's severed head alive.
Dude, that is one of the creepiest videos I ever saw. And that's probably something like, that's zombie dog right there. That's a zombie dog.
They kept alive with electrical stimulation?
Yeah. Now imagine like if they made a thing that they could just put a collar around its neck to do the same thing. Like it digs into the right things and it can control it.
Well, I think for sure, you know, one of the things that there was people, here's the video. Wow, that's a dog. Oh, my God.
Zombie dog.
Oh, my God.
Is there a video?
Yeah, I'm going to put it on Twitter first so we can all watch together.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. How hilarious is Jimmy Kimmel?
He's hilarious.
You guys ever watch him?
You know what was the best thing? That thing that he did with Leno when he came out as Leno and did his whole show as Leno? Dude, that thing was harsh. Look at this.
Did you tweet it?
That's a cartoon.
I don't know.
No, it's real.
He's just explaining. He's explaining how he does it. So how he's feeding the dog brain. This is just some mad scientist shit. They're trying to figure out what makes flesh and tissue alive. And this dog, they're feeding blood to this dog's head while this fucking dog's head is severed. I mean, this is, they're explaining it in a cartoon form, but then watch, they do it. Here it is. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, freaky.
That's insane, man. They kept that dog's head alive for hours. Look, it's moving around. It's reacting when he tickles its nose, man.
Wow. Can't bark. It's got no voice box.
It's got no lungs, man.
Right.
He's got nothing. It's insane. Citric acid. He's taking citric acid out. What do you need to put it on his nose?
Can you imagine doing that to, like, your old pet? Because you want to make it feel like it's still alive.
Oh, my God. He's licking it. That is insane. The dog's head is completely removed from its body, and it's licking its nose. The guy covered its nose with citric acid.
Wow, so cute. Cute dog. He's looking at his nose.
Why'd they have to chop his fucking head off?
So did they...
Just to figure out that he can do it? Oh, look at this. He's blinking. Oh my God, they poured light on him. Oh, don't do that.
Oh no, sound. Oh. They picked up a hammer. That's scary. They were going to smash his face.
Yeah, do you not know?
He just knocked the ground. I know.
Brian, didn't you watch the video?
He just hit the ground with a hammer.
Did you watch a video? Oh, he's reacting to noise. Look at that. He's trying to get away from the hammer noise. Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
Now, did they cut his head off and then put it right on that machine?
Yeah.
So they didn't really ever die.
Chopped his fucking head off.
They didn't bring it back to life.
No. I don't know exactly how long it was. But this crazy guy did a bunch of these kind of experiments.
Fuck, that's so scary.
Very interesting.
You know, it's
shit.
Like, would you, a guy who's willing to do something that dark... I mean, I understand it's all for the name of science and all that stuff, but the guy who's willing to take an animal and completely disregard its suffering just to find out what you can do to it, that guy will do that to people.
Right.
That's what I think. I think, I mean, maybe not, but...
What about lab rats? Where's the line?
Yeah, where is the line? I mean, why
I
not
think when you
why
realize
not take
they're
people
animals.
That suck? Why not take... There's a guy who recently got arrested.
I want to be in charge of choosing
that. Yeah, he's been being sentenced right now. He was on a dating game back in the 70s, and this chick turned him down. I'll find that too.
Yeah.
The chick turned him down, and after the chick turned him down, because the chick didn't want to go out with him.
Yeah.
Well, it turned out before he was even on the show in 1968, he'd already raped a child. He raped a 12-year-old girl, and they didn't know about it. So he gets on the show. He
it's
wins. The girl doesn't want to date him. The girl doesn't want to date him, and he goes on a fucking killing spree. And
does he kill her?
No, he doesn't kill her. But he kills a child. He kills, I think, four people. Took one teenage girl out into the woods, sodomized her, and smashed her fucking head with a rock. I mean, he did some horrible, horrible shit. He's an evil fuck. And, I mean, that guy, cut his fucking head off. You know what I'm saying? The guy's killed four people, rapes and sodomized a chick, kills her with a rock. Let's cut his head off. Why are we kidding? This dog didn't do shit. You know? That guy is the one. Bachelor number one will fucking kill you. That's what it is. This is the guy. This is him in court right now.
Whoa! He got way older.
Well, this is 1978, bro. But he went on a fucking killing spree. He raped her with a claw hammer. All of them were repeatedly strangled and then resuscitated during their deaths to prolong their agony.
He woke him up again.
He's hot. Evil, evil fuck. Yeah, she was hot and smart. She smartened up. Even in 1978, she knew. The other dudes who were on the show with him, they said that he was so creepy, they were like, and they didn't even realize, but they were leaning away from him.
Really?
Yeah. And they said that in the locker room, like it was, in the dressing room, the green room, it wasn't like all jokes, like, hey, we're on this crazy TV show. It's like, I'm going to win, you fucking piece of shit. It's my fucking show. Like, he was like aggressive with them and like crazy. And like, this guy's fucking creepy. Turns out he's a serial killer. You know? That guy, we should experiment on that motherfucker, right? I mean, that's the guy we should be killing, not a goddamn dog. Right, Art Shapiro?
Yeah, maybe. I want to sit and study him and ask him questions.
I know, right?
Yeah,
well, he's acting as his own defense, too.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, I wonder how they caught him. I don't know the whole story. I don't know how they go. Look at him, man. What a creepy fuck, man. There's people that enjoy, they truly enjoy hurting other people. You know, they're broken. Their wires are just completely crossed, and they actually enjoy it, man. It's fucked up, but...
Talking about Manson and how he tried out for the Monkees.
Did he really?
Yeah. That's and like, weird. If he had gotten it, would he still gone crazy? My friend was like, yes, he just would have been a crazy monkey.
It would have been way more crazy, because what if he became one of the monkeys and he got fucking famous and then had incredible power? I mean, the power he had over chicks, he was 3 feet tall and a fucking ex-con.
He was all over Hollywood, because he always had hot chicks around him. Yeah. So everyone in Hollywood invited him over.
And don't think dudes don't do that today. Sharon Tate, that's
Polanski's place, wasn't it?
There's always guys that are like in Vegas especially, that party, they'll say, hey, we got a lot of hot chicks with us, come on down with us. Yeah. And they're like always trying to talk to like UFC guys and fighters. Like, why are you telling guys you have a lot of hot chicks with you? If you have a lot of hot chicks with you, like, are you like just a really super cool guy who wants to make everybody happy, or are you just trying to make friends with everybody? And this is like the bait you're throwing out there.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. It's weird.
That's all right.
That's some Manson type shit.
The problem is always like I have a lot of hot chicks, and you're like, what am I gonna do with that?
Scary shit.
Gonna meet them?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Are they prostitutes that are willing to have sex with me? Or something. Otherwise, like, what do you... I don't understand.
Do you want to talk about your Last Comic Standing thing?
I went on Last Comic Standing yesterday. I auditioned for it. What do you mean?
Am I allowed to talk about it?
Oh, you mean by rules of, like, NBC?
Yeah, like, did you sign some...
I don't know. I signed a lot of stuff. I have no idea. I'm sure you're allowed. And then I get there, and they said this year they want to do, what's it called? More respectable judges, because they're afraid of Ant, that level of comic, where they were like, the comics don't really want to do it. So they got Greg Giraldo and Andy Kindler, who I respect. And then at the last minute, I found out 20 minutes before I got there, went on, that my ex-girlfriend, Natasha, was one of their judges.
Now, this is not just an ex-girlfriend, but there's a big-ass story to it. And one of them is that Ari, at one point in time, was quite upset with her. And Ari?
Yes. And, the water?
Yeah.
She left me for some guy on Matt TV. And then, she started hanging around, but my safety spot, my clubhouse, and making it uncomfortable for me. And then she started dating my friend, and then she was hanging around the clubhouse again, and I threw water in her face.
So not the best judge to be on
live. Right, not the best, not the one I want to be up in front of. And I was like, oh, really? And then they started grilling me about it, like right before I go on camera, asking these questions.
Off
and
before?
I'm like, yeah, right before. And I'm like, I don't know if she's answering this.
Did you think about bailing?
What? Absolutely thought about it. But I love uncomfortable situations so much. I even said that to the people. I was like, ugh.
You do.
If I could wash, this would be better. But
I think we all do from working at the store.
It's just so so awkward. Yeah. I love it so much that I'm willing to put myself through it just for the awkwardness.
Well, you know how when we were doing the store, all those years, we'd have those crazy late night shows? Like, I think there's something about those late night shows that, like, set. You know, like, there's times when we did gigs together where, like, if I did a gig with, like, Tripoli or me and Brent Ernst and Mike Young did a show once in Hollywood, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
and everybody killed. And one of the things when Brent Ernst said when he killed, like right after he was bringing me up, he goes, "Comedy Store, motherfucker!" You know, and it was like joking around, like we're
a
gang.
It's a clubhouse. It's a gang.
Yeah. It's a mentality. It's like you know you're working
you've been
in a shithole.
Dark situations. Yeah.
The Comedy Store, if you don't know, the way it has always been in L.A., it used to be that the criminals ran the insane people ran the asylum. But now it's managed and it kind of sucks now.
But still, the door guys are all wannabe comics.
Everyone's a comic.
They're outside smoking and drinking. When there's some five hecklers in there yelling at you, eventually someone will get them.
The place is entirely black. Everything's black. The walls are black. The floor is so dirty. The coloring is black. Yeah. The whole building is black. It's a black building. And it's just dark, man. And it used to be a nightclub where Bugsy Siegel owned it in the 1930s and shit called Ciro's. Yeah. And it was like a mob joint where like dudes were killed there. You know, so it's got this weird fucking feel to it. I mean, for sure they chopped people up and threw them in the fucking freezer in that place.
Yeah, they had this, what's it called, the window where they said that was a
room. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis used to watch the opening acts from their green room. Their green room has a window. And we could still use it today. You go up there and you watch the main room.
They said that where they point out for the bouncers, like, get him out and get him out. Yeah. So they wouldn't have to, like, go and make a hubbub in the room.
Oh.
They would just drag him out. They said to kill him, I don't know.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's an amazing club. There's three comedy rooms in it. There's an upstairs little tiny one called the Belly Room. There's an original room that's like 200 seats, right? About 200. And then there's a main room that's like 400 seats. And the fucking club is just so sick, man. So much fun shit has happened in that club.
It's a great development room.
Yeah, that's it. It's the best place to write material.
It's less about, like, I don't know.
People are so not impressed with you there.
Yeah. You don't showcase there ever.
Oh, never. You'll eat it. It's very possible to eat it at the
store. Dia said, never tape at the kind to make a tape once again, everyone. Never make a tape at the store. You can never tell what's going to happen.
You never tell. We've been in so many situations where people are screaming things at each other, fights on stage. Ari's pulled his cock out at least 10 times that I know of. I would be willing to bet money that he's pulled his dick out 10 times on that stage that I saw.
That you saw?
Yeah. He used to pull his balls out all the time and just do a set like that.
I generally just said,
just pull his balls out.
This one time I wanted to fuck with Dirty Stevens, so I put my balls, he hated anything homosexual, so I pulled my balls out and left a long t-shirt over them because I was going to bring them on. And I had them out before the entire set. Wow. And there were a couple times where I'd raise my hand like this.
And people would see it.
They'd just go up a little bit, so I had to be conscious of doing my set with my hands down the whole time. And then when he got out, because we were doing this thing called cocking, where I would come behind you and just put my balls on your arm or something. Just somewhere on your body. We never do it to girls, because that's creepy.
That's illegal.
Yeah.
I think it's illegal to do it to dudes, too, but if you call the cops, you're a bitch.
Yeah, but Brody was like, don't you ever do that to me. I'm like, I'm going to cock you. And so once, you know, I went to shake his hand after to get off, and I just pulled it in. He was like, fucking melted for 15 minutes.
You planned it out.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so ridiculous. Regular people, man, with regular jobs cannot appreciate that. There's something very fun in being juvenile. And, you know, everybody wants to get all mature and everybody wants to, you know.
I guess.
Yeah, that's all well and good. But the bottom line is, this is a temporary life. This is temporary. Taking yourself or anything seriously seems dumb to me. It seems like you should be having as much fun as possible, even the silly, stupid shit. Even farting on each other. I don't care. It could be 100 years from now. Farting on people is still going to be funny. When Joey Diaz comes over and literally farts on you and then waves his hand in front of his ass. I mean, it's always funny. It's always disgusting.
Like,
but
it gets warmer. Yeah. That's how close it is.
The only time that makes you angry, the only time that would make you angry, you'd have to be so fucked up in your life. Like, you'd have to be in a terrible place. But if any normal time in life when he does that, it's hilarious.
See if he did it to him on a date.
I can see him doing that.
He's in the middle of talking. Let me do this.
Yeah. You get in the middle of talking. What are you doing here? You eating dinner? Hey, hello, miss. Very nice to meet you. Hold on. Here we go, motherfucker. Bam! What do you think of that? Put down your fucking spaghetti and smoke it.
Hello, miss. Nice to meet you.
Ah, sorry about that one. Yo, dog. You got a lighter? I'll give it right back.
He would definitely do that.
He's stolen more lighters from me. I should have lighters with fucking homing beacons. Put a little beep, 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 beep. He used to always talk about him going to 7-Eleven.
Steal.
And steal lighters. Steal.
Yeah, gotta take him for something.
And he does it like a place. He does it at the airport. And he's like, don't steal at the airport. It's like
we're catching a flight. If you get held by 30 minutes, we're going to miss it. Like, don't.
Does he still do it?
Dude, he does it all the time.
Tic Tacs.
Remember when we went to McDonald's and it was one of those places where you grab like a quarter pounder, you grab your fries, and you go to the cashier, and you go, I got a quarter pounder of fries. He's just like, quarter pounder here, some French fries in my shirt. Get out of here.
Remember the time I stole that food?
Dude, you just gave him up.
Huh?
You just gave him up on the internet.
I'm talking about Duncan Trussell.
Ryan and I were waiting for food once, and I forgot to wait in line. And then somebody kept ordering, yelling out, taquitos, taquitos, and nobody picked them up. So I just said, fuck it.
Oh, that's right. Man, you did it. That's right. I forgot. You guys are killing me, man.
Wow, that's scary.
It was scary. We ate so fast, we had to run away.
I got caught for shoplifting was when CDs first came out, and I was like 12 or 13 or something, and I wanted a CD so bad. I had a CD player for my birthday, but I had one CD. It was the Ghostbuster 2 soundtrack. So I was like, I need a new CD. This soundtrack sucks. And so I went to the store with my friend, and I stole three CDs and got caught. It was so embarrassing because the CDs were Paula Abdul, MC Hammer, and something else like Van Halen or something like that. But then his family, both of our families had to come. We had to, getting caught shoplifting.
I got caught shoplifting when I was about 13. I stole a candy bar, and we were about to leave and go to the movies. And as I'm walking out of this store, this guy came up and grabbed my arm.
Really?
Me too.
I fucking went into a panic. He goes, what did you put in your pocket? I go, what? Cool. He goes, what is this? Why you got a candy bar in your pocket? Like, I totally didn't even need to do it. I just wanted to see if I could do it. Right. I had done it a couple of times. I'd stolen, like, gum or something like that, and I just kept doing it. You know, when you're a kid, you just do it. I think I was 13. I was, like, 12, I think.
But the thing is, you would have gotten away with it. You would have gotten in trouble with your parents.
No, I was 13 because I was living in Boston. Yeah, my
but
parents.
But that's terrible.
Yeah, my parents never found out about it, I don't think. I don't think they even told my parents. They just told me to get the fuck out of there. It was like a candy bar. They didn't give a shit. They're like, we could hold you. We could bring you to jail. And I just said, look, I'm sorry. I don't know why I did it. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. I apologize. Right. And I said, I got away. I told the truth. I said, I got away with it before, and for whatever reason, I thought I could get away with it. And they go, get the fuck out of here. Don't ever come. I can't ever fucking catch you doing this. I'm going to put you in fucking jail. Big mustache. Big fucking fat head. He got in my face. And I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm glad I got caught. Because if I didn't, I'd probably... Because I was so addicted to it. Because it was when Nintendo came out also. And there was this place called... Yeah. Service Merchandise. Service Merchandise. They didn't know about video games. They just put them on the shelf. So me and my friend were like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Like put 10 in our pants. And then we would bury it outside of the store and get it back later because we didn't want to come home and have like video games.
My girlfriend in high school got busted stealing like $1,000 worth of shit. She got in like some real trouble.
Wow.
The last time I was with my mom, and I saw these pair of sunglasses that I thought were cool, and I put in my pocket, and as I'm walking out the door, I'm like, what am I, if this thing goes off right now,
right.
I'm fucked, what am I doing? And I was like 17.
Right.
It was like enough where I'm like, they'll just charge me.
Right.
I'm not cute.
Yeah, it's scary shit. My girlfriend at the time, I think she was 15 when she got caught, but she just wanted nice clothes. Everybody had nice clothes, and she was also raised without her dad. Yeah, I think when people are raised without their dad, they're very unbalanced, you know. They're more subject to do crazy shit. Her mom worked all day. You know, her mom didn't have enough money to take care of her. She couldn't, like, put her in, like, a really nice daycare. So you grow up, you know, single parent, or single parent, single child, you grow up a little crazy. You know, she just thought she could get away with it. She thought she was smart. She was pretty smart. She thought she could get away with it.
It's either because she was raised with no dad or raised with too much dad.
Yeah, I was no dad. She wasn't like that.
Come here, dog.
She wasn't fucked up like that. She was just a little crazy. Did you ever look back on chicks that you knew when you were in high school and say, what if I got her pregnant? What if I had a fucking kid with her? What if I was still connected to her?
What if I was pregnant and didn't have money is what the real answer is.
Well, could you imagine, though? I mean, not having money is one thing. That does suck. But being young and not having money and trying to figure out how to raise a child, you're still trying to figure out yourself.
You'd make the best of your life.
You would definitely make the best of your life. But
it's so hard not to project on those people.
I would hate to fuck it up.
But it's like, no, it's not that bad. They're fine.
I would hate to fuck it up. I would hate to fuck up. You know, to raise a kid when you're like a kid yourself, man, that's... You could do some irreparable damage to that fucking kid. You could teach them something, some really terrible behavior patterns. They could model them after you. I mean, think about how dumb you were when you were 18.
Yeah.
Now imagine you were black, you had AIDS, and you're
You live in another country. How about you just...
Like Precious, that's what they make Precious.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I could imagine. How about you're born in the Congo? How about that? How about you're one of those dudes that fucking still fishes by hanging a net over a fucking moving river from a tree? They hang with their feet from fucking trees and scoop nets into the water. Dude, it's nuts because the river is raging. And if they're not even wearing safety vests, if they fall in that water, they might be fucked. There's some video of these guys living in the Congo that are catching fish by doing that. It is wild to see, man. They are living right now the way the fucking Na'vi lived in Avatar. No bullshit, except they don't fly
they're
in
not
dragons.
Really great. Yeah,
it's not cool. Yeah. All the uncool
smell
parts.
Really bad.
And when they come at you, it doesn't seem that much.
They're killing things with spears and bows and arrows, and you know they're fishing with nets. while they're hanging from fucking trees. It's loco. It's crazy shit, man. And these guys are living in 2010. They don't have shit. They don't have lights. They don't have electricity. They don't have anything. They have no lighters. They don't have shit. Occasionally, you see one of them will be wearing, like Western underwear. Like, somebody got them some fucking underwear. Or one of them will be wearing a T-shirt or some shit. You know, like, from the Gap. And you're like, wow, this is crazy. And here they are living in these straw huts in the middle of the fucking jungle, surrounded by monsters, you know? That is a scary, scary life, man. And that could easily have been us, you know? You didn't have to be born where you were born. I didn't have to be born where I'm born. You could totally fuck up, and all of a sudden,
you wouldn't know any different, though.
Yeah. You wouldn't know any different, but goddamn, how lucky are we? I mean, yeah, you would be probably okay. I mean, people.
There's a lot of poor countries that look, and I think they're dumb. They look down on our lifestyle and, like, look at them. They don't even know. They could have been born here in Afghanistan and had a good life.
Yeah, there's people that are proud. They're proud to live in those shitty towns. I mean, there's a lot of people that are proud to live in Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying? For real. You know, you talk to people that fucking love Pittsburgh. I'll be here till I die. Fucking Pittsburgh is the only town for me. Dude, you need to go to Australia. Because let me tell you something, man. Everyone's friendly. The women are gorgeous. Everyone's cool as fuck. Everyone's super, super relaxed.
Every third place Joe Rogan goes to visit, he says it's the greatest place ever. He wants to move there.
I always have this instinct to get out of L.A. I came so close. I was gone.
Yeah.
Look at me. Just when I thought it was over, they dragged me back in. They got me back. The wife got knocked up, and the mountain lion ate the dog, and snow came. The accident on the hills. It's too much. I got crazy. I tried to move her right to the mountains. That was the big fuck up.
You need to take steps.
I should have moved her to Boulder and got like a little
take over a territory, set up a base there, then move.
I got this fucking very strong desire to have like a base very far away from the majority of civilization. Like, I have these crazy, and it's not crazy thoughts of like the end of the world. It's just like, I just want no one around.
You even do that here. It's like, any reason you have to be in L.A. is 45 minutes away.
Yeah. Well, here,
you know, in light traffic.
Yeah.
Have you always been like that, or is that something that knit up recently?
No, I've always been like that. When I've moved further and further away from the hives from the moment I moved to L.A. When I first moved to L.A., I had an apartment in North Hollywood. Then I bought, then I rented a house in Encino. And then I kept going further and further out, you know. And my next move, man, I'm gonna stay in California, balloon. I think I'm gonna get a place in Big Bear. I want to go get a place up in the mountains, you know.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, maybe I should buy his place.
There you go.
I wonder if she wants to sell it. I wonder if she'll sell it. I wonder if Lynn even uses it.
You don't want that jug of spirits.
What the fuck? This junkie spirits in that fucking house, cocksucker. What are you trying to do? We're worshiping Satan, Joe Rogan.
Junkie spirits.
Maybe you're right. Maybe that's. You know what I would like to get? Just a little cabin, just somewhere where I can just go and just hear nothing. That's what I love the most about living on that mountain. I mean, you went to that place that beautiful. I lived at. When you are out that window, when we're on the porch, and you listen, you don't hear a fucking thing. It's you hear the silence. It's like a very specific sound of its own.
I heard in the redwoods, because the canopy's so high above the ground, there's no real birds and there's no real insects there. Because the stuff, I don't know how it falls up, so there's just nothing going on.
Wow.
So it really is just silence. Occasionally you hear a squirrel. You never see one, but generally it's just like nothing's happening.
I gotta go back to that.
That would suck.
No, man, it's supposed to be super.
This is like miles and miles around.
I went when I was a kid and we drove our car through a redwood tree.
Yeah, I wanna do that one.
This is how douchey people are. This fucking tree's been around for like a million years. This gigantic fucking tree that's as big as this room. So what do? They carve a big hole in the center of it so people can drive their cars through the fucking tree. This is like a novelty goof. Like, they carved out the tree
that's where
like
the road was, right? That or knock the tree down.
No, they made it. They didn't. That's where the road was. They didn't have to do that. I mean, it seems like more humane to kill the tree than to use it.
Humane. It's a fucking tree.
What if trees can feel? They just can't communicate. You know, that's a very valid argument. You know, we don't know. We know that there's. I don't know if this has been scientifically validated, but there's been all sorts of studies that prove that trees like feel something. Like, there's an electrical impulse when you snip them.
I will tell you this. There was an episode of Mama's Family in which the goofball son hears a study that says cauliflower can feel pain.
Damn.
Broccoli does not have that same problem.
Maybe that was where all the work was done. That's not real. But who the fuck knows, man? You know, who knows if it doesn't hurt their feelings when you eat them?
Who knows? It's not a good enough reason to do anything.
You could argue that video game characters could probably feel.
Maybe they're playing us.
They might. You know, when you kill them.
When you play Quake, maybe you're fucking somebody up in another dimension.
Right. Like, that video game, how do you know that has feelings as much as a fucking cabbage?
You know, that's just it starts getting ridiculous. If you have lips, then who cares? You know, you have to have lips. And then,
well,
then
some
I'll
people
listen.
Say they won't eat anything that has a face.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There's like people who will eat. They'll eat things like they'll eat like clams and they'll eat like some shellfish, but they won't eat anything with a face.
What is that thing? Speaking of faces, it's creeping me
it's
out.
It's an ass cheek, but it's got someone's mouth there. Not mine though. It's some girl's. It's a very Brian just comes up with
it's weird.
Weird ass. Have you seen those little weird ass banners? We're talking about the thing that's on my website. It's on JoeRogan.net.
Well,
any of those weird banners. It's all Brian's nutty.
You know, I like to throw in a lot of like subliminal porn into it because it works.
Yeah, I think that
because you're like, what the fuck is this?
What
and
is
it makes
that?
You look
so
at
you can
the poster.
See some pussy lips down there by the end.
Yeah. It makes you look at the poster, where like a lot of times if it's just you with a microphone, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Right, you're right. You just, no, I love them, man. But I think if you just brighten the contrast in there, people would be even more excited. Where that N is, I feel like I could see something there.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that that's exciting? To like almost see some tits or some pussy, but you can see just
you can just go to a different website.
Dick and ass on the internet, you know?
Video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I can't live in a mountain, man. Because if there's like end of the world shit happens, I need to be around pussy just in case if I have to meet.
I got disgusted by porn last night.
It's not even an end of the world thing. You got disgusted by
it. Was
porn.
Like it was like overload. It was just too much. Too many days in a row. To where I was like,
yeah.
Oh, that's why are they doing this?
Sometimes I overload on
them.
The road. On the road, sometimes I
just too much porn. I just I see it as like
porn,
mating animals. Either that or this way, where I just feel empathy for the women.
How about when you beat off and like only a dribble comes out because that's all you got left?
Wow, like a three day or four. Because
you
four
beat
times
off like three times in a day.
Yeah,
and you think you're doing it because you're like trying to get some sleep. Like you in the morning, like sometimes I wake up and I've got up too early. I'm like, oh, I can sleep in. I need my sleep. Let me just jerk off real quick. So I'll jerk off, and then I'm like, get ready to go to the gym. Like, God, I'm a little horny before I go to the gym. Maybe I should jerk off. And then I'll jerk off, and then I'll go and do the show. And then I'll go do the show, do stand up.
Do before you go to the for jiu-jitsu?
Sometimes.
I don't make your balls.
I would be jerking off three times before jiu-jitsu.
I always watch before jiu-jitsu. Very conscientious.
Oh.
Listen, everybody jerks off and then goes to jiu-jitsu. Everybody that goes to jiu-jitsu jerks off and then goes there. It's just a matter of how long ago one got jerked off. Was it a month ago? Was it a year ago?
And if they like to wipe it or they go with it still.
That's true. You never know, man. You never know. You can't trust people. Trust no one. But then I'll go get home from the gig. I'll do a gig. I'll be wired, and then I'll kind of get some sleep. So I'll beat off, and then I'll get some sleep.
What about the times, like, out of nowhere, just... Oh, I was talking to Ari about this. He's a sprayer. Like, when he jerks off, it just blows up.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens to me once in a while, and it
TMI.
Surprises the fuck out of me.
TMI.
The face and the shoulder.
Why does it do that?
What?
Do you, like, hold down the tip like a garden hose and try to spray
it's probably
it
something
or something?
Like that. That's probably the way I do it. I don't know.
Maybe he's just got a lot of fucking oomph behind his loads, Brian. Just because your loads come a sputter.
No, but you know what? It's whenever I get, like, a hand job or something.
Dog.
So it's not me.
Oh, so it's a girl doing it.
Or me, if I'm doing it for whatever. It's like, let me just fucking beat off.
Yeah.
Or if she does it, it just fucking
what,
flies.
Let's be honest about something. Yeah. What is better? What is better? Getting a great load, shooting a great load, or taking a great shit.
I would go with a great load.
Great load.
A great load, but not by much, man. Not by much. Sometimes
you need to, here's
you
what you
shoot
need to add
a great
to, the,
load.
To the question. You need to take a great load or a great shit.
That a question?
Sandwich after
yeah.
Something
yeah. Here's
like,
the question. Here's
you need to add. You need to even it up.
Question.
Because how many times have you shot a load and then you realize, oh my God, now I have to talk to this crazy bitch that I just shot a load with, and she's asking
you
dumb questions.
Sex.
You're trying to get the fuck out of there, and you're tired, and you realize you got to drive an hour to get
home. Doesn't matter.
And that's she wants you to stay over, and you're like, I can't. I have to feed the dogs. Like any kind of craziness that goes on, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? Whereas when you take a shit, there's none of that.
I think here's the deal.
And that's just a load in your shit.
I think you've just had sex a lot more than Brian and I. So you're just a little more like interested in it than we are. We're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're like, what sex? It's
every
once a year.
Every now and then I enjoy a good shit. I really appreciate the morning ones. Sometimes you wake up and you're like, oh, Jesus, let me get to the toilet. You get to the toilet, it's just like, because I eat a lot of salad, you know, my shit comes quick. So it's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Blah.
See, my shit's always involved investigating and identifying.
What? You go and look at your poop? Well, that's because... Okay, Brian, you have to tell the boy that Brian has blood in his poop.
What?
Well,
no.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, what are you talking about?
I get that once in a while. It's all right.
Okay,
about.
Somebody doesn't want to talk about
that. No, I'm just...
I made that up.
No. Once I had a hemorrhoid and I had to get a... I already talked
internal
about
hemorrhoid.
Yeah, internal hemorrhoid.
Yeah, you did talk about it.
I already talked about it.
Bleed.
Yeah, so that's why he has to investigate.
I get a fluid poop sometimes. I just like it.
Whoa.
What? What?
It's just interesting to me. I find out when I go to wipe, I'm like, oh, was that a wetter shit? I was like, oh, no, it's super wet. It's like,
did I ever tell a story about...
I just like it. It doesn't hurt, though.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you a story about when I first started wearing a cup in jiu-jitsu? I didn't used
to
wear
a
cup. And I had to start wearing a cup because I was rolling with Einstein, and he was trying to pass my guard, and he slammed his knee right into my dick. Like, not even really... The shin hit my balls, but the knee... hit the dick.
But that pass, I'm surprised that didn't happen a lot more.
Brian, why are you covering your head?
Because I hate this story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. But people have to hear. He slammed it in my dick. It hurt so much. It was so fucking painful. But so I wait till I feel better. You know, I take a couple of minutes to catch my breath. And then we started rolling again. And I didn't think anything of it. Until I get changed. I go in the locker room. And I go to take my gi pants off. And I go to take my underwear off, or my jockstrap off. And it's filled with blood. Filled with blood. Blood is leaking out of the tip of my dick. And I'm like, oh my God, I broke my dick. So then I go into the bathroom and pee. So I go to pee. And blood is just coming right out of the tip of my dick. Blood and urine. So then I started thinking about it. I go, okay, I got a problem. I got to do something now. I got a problem. I might have to get my dick fixed. I'm like, holy shit. And then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, but wait a minute. If this was my nose, if blood was coming out of my nose, would I do anything about it? No, I wouldn't do shit about it. I would just let it heal. Okay, let's just let your dick heal and see how it goes. So I get home that night, and I say, well, I don't know, man. Maybe I should go to the fucking doctor. Okay, if my dick can get hard, I'm not going to go to the doctor. So I jerked off. I jerked off, and I shot a bloody load.
Is it pink?
No, it was like a chicken egg that has the embryo in it.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? You get a chicken egg and the embryo's in it. It's like a little bloody stream of blood.
That's
what it's like.
That's in the Philippines. That's a...
balut. No, balut is like an actual embryo, like a big-ass one. Much more close to...
Kosher, if you get one drop of blood in the which you get all the time, in an egg, throw it out. Can't use it.
Yeah,
so
that
you see them crack eggs separately and then put them into the hole.
No, it makes sense. You don't know what the fuck happened. That thing's bleeding in there, and that blood is just...
Well, then it means it's human life. It has to be killed differently. Not human life. Chicken life, yeah.
Yeah, well, not only that, it's probably smart for, like, health reasons. That blood is just sitting in that egg. I think an egg can keep probably better than blood can.
Maybe.
You know, who knows if the blood... I mean, that's just speculation. But anyway, bottom line is I jerked off to see if my dick was okay.
Yeah.
And I myself. No, it didn't feel that good.
it wasn't
like the best jerk-off session I've ever had. But then the next day, I peed blood a couple more times. I peed blood just a little bit less every time for like 3 days. And then I stopped. There was no more blood. And I said, I think it's okay.
I think it would have only taken one day and I would have freaked out and went right to the
emergency.
It didn't hurt. That's why
I didn't.
Did you
Google
it
at all?
No.
Thank God.
Well, I was thinking, what I was worried about was that it was going to break. You know, I was like, my dick is not going to work anymore. And, you know, I'm impotent.
We have to cut it off.
Ew. Imagine if you get gangrene, if it rotted,
weren't
and you
would
have to hack your dick off.
Oh,
then they have to rebuild one. They have to take a chunk out of meat out of your forearm. I saw that online. A dude had his dick rebuilt. Or maybe it was like a woman who had a dick rebuilt to become a man.
That could be.
A fake dick. Oh, it's so crazy.
Wouldn't you be concerned at all at the time? And I'm not joking.
Mm-hmm.
That the doctor would be like, if you hadn't gotten hard so fast, would be okay. But the fact that it broke that seal or something, you weren't worried about that.
I was thinking that maybe my loads would purify whatever injury I had in there.
Huh.
My soldiers would go to work on it, patch it up. I thought urine would do that. I think, you know, urine is supposed to heal things. So if you pee and you have a little wound inside your dick, it's probably good to piss out blood. It probably cleans it out.
Probably.
You know,
urine's sterile.
Yeah, urine's sterile. It's good for you. I bet it probably does. But that was a close call. So from then on, I wear a cup. So no blood in my shit, but some bloody loads. And some bloody pee-pee.
So glad
I don't
do shit. Let's
get contrast with the white and red.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
What?
You're so glad what?
I don't do shit that involves having to wear a cup so people won't hit my nuts so I don't pee blood.
Yeah, well...
I never wore one. Never wore one.
Jiu-jitsu, you should wear one, dude. I'll get an extra one. I'll give it to you.
You like
the bonus. I never wore it, I swear.
That sounds fishy.
Yeah.
I don't.
Why does it smell like Ben Gay?
Nothing. I've never tried it on.
Why
does it
smear it with fucking Dave's Insanity sauce and it won't even kick in until you start sweating? Could you imagine? Oh my God, your dick would be on fire. I pissed once after I had a burrito with Dave's Insanity sauce and I don't know, I must have got some residue on my finger and I touched the head of my dick and it was like, it was melting.
Like a Mexican blowjob.
It was... What?
Yeah.
It's like that, probably.
Did I tell you about the sunflower seed peppers?
Sunflower
When I was in Israel, they had these huge sunflower seeds that were like that big. And so people would always take them from me when I was sitting at my desk. So I wanted to punish the people who didn't ask.
Oh, so you put
peppers. So I spent all day and I crushed up habanero peppers.
That's awesome.
Took the seeds out and put one seed inside each sunflower seed.
Oh, my God.
And then if people, I would leave that in front. So people ask, I'd be like, no, here's the normal ones. But if they wouldn't, they'd just fucking get it. And most people can't stand the heat. But did not wash off my hands, peed, and just had to shower with my pants around my ankles. And like, it just started, I was like, ow, ow, ow,
It's like this, it's like.
Yeah. And you're like, what's happening? You put soap on it, water.
How about dudes who get their dick tattooed?
Yeah.
What the fuck, man? How much must that hurt? Imagine
it's a sensitive area. It hasn't built up any tolerance to anything.
Jesus Christ,
maybe
man.
Maybe it feels really good.
Maybe it feels awesome.
Getting your dick tattooed?
Yeah, maybe it's just like hard sex.
But probably not.
Like, harder! Tattoos hurt. No!
Brian wants to get fucked. That's what he's trying to say.
I wonder if anybody's tattooed a dick and had him come on them.
Oh my god. Could you imagine?
That's, like, who cares if
right
that happens?
Like, put the dragon wings on about. The balls, he just squirts all over you.
They definitely have gotten hard before during tattoos. That's definitely happened. Not even on purpose.
Gay guys?
Not even on purpose. It could just be incidental.
Especially, like, really crazy, freaky, gay bondage type dudes, you know?
Has Bravo been on that tattoo show yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Has?
I don't know if it's aired.
It's aired.
I don't know. I mean, I think they filmed the whole season in advance, and he just did it a couple months ago. That's a good-ass tattoo, man. That chicken. She's a really good artist. Eddie Bravo got his grandmother tattooed on his chest.
Oh, yeah, it's badass.
Incredible.
By Kat Von D.
But yeah, it's incredible artwork, man. I fucking love those tattoos. I don't have any of them, but I love those portraits. Yeah.
I think it'd be creepy.
It is creepy.
Like, oh my God, it's
Well, unless, it's, unless it means something to you, like for Eddie, his grandmother was like the person who really cared about him when he was a kid.
Right.
Some dude that went to high school with you.
Yeah, that would be nuts. Imagine if you went to high school with a kid and then all of a sudden you run into him and he's got you tattooed on his arm.
And he'd be like, listen, man, it's ironic. We just picked you out of the yearbook at random. Don't be weird about it.
You ever see that crazy bitch that's got I'm Gonna Kill You, Ray Romano tattooed on her back?
No.
Yeah.
Does she hate Ray Romano?
No, she just did it like because, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond was out.
Oh. She gets tattooed
as a tramp stamp. It says, I'm gonna kill you, Ray Romano.
And so she's taking pictures out. People are
interested. Oh, yeah, it's on the internet.
Yeah.
How crazy is that bitch? I mean, if that bitch ever has kids, the kids can never take her seriously. They're like, Mom, listen to me, you dumbass. You've got, I'm gonna kill you, Ray Romano, on your fucking back.
Don't, who's Ray Romano?
Don't
like,
there
was a popular sitcom.
Bad decisions, you dumb bitch. You know, it's
that might have been your best impression, Brian.
Hey, yeah, it's Kermit the Frog. No, it's Ray Romano.
He's hilarious. That guy, I started working with him like way back in the early 90s. We did Jimmy's Comedy Alley in, I think it was in Queens, somewhere in New York. I think it was in Queens. And he was the headliner and I was the middle. I got to see him like when he was at his peak. He was a really, really good stand-up, man.
When he came
back
to it, he was good, so
yeah.
It was interesting.
Well, he's always good. He's just got great delivery. You know, he's a super nice guy.
Was he super clean back then?
Yeah, he's always been kind of clean, you know? I mean, not completely clean. Like, he did a bit on Kevin and Bean's show last year.
Yeah.
The April Foolishness, hilarious bit about if guys could blow ourselves, we would have to wear like a dog collar. It was really funny.
Get more into it?
No, so you keep your husband from blowing himself, you would have to put out like one of
those
dog collars.
Oh, girls would have
to. It was very funny, man. It was a really good bit.
I thought I meant like Bond or something.
No. It was very, very funny. And he had a bunch of good stuff, you know. Even stuff like about his son pooping, you know, you think it's like it's innocent joke, but it's really well worded and great timing and really good economy of words. He's a real good craftsman, you know, with his material. That's why his show was so funny. That guy, I met him, you know, years
and
years
ago. Did you steal his job?
I did. I didn't steal it. Somebody else stole it.
I know.
Luckily, somebody else stole it. I stole it from that guy.
Who, the guy in the pilot stole
it? Yes. He got it, and then they didn't want him for the actual show, and then they hired me. That's what happened. So I didn't feel bad. There was already a guy before me. I just took it from him. But Ray was a friend, you know, so it was weird to run into him, you know. But then all of a sudden, he got his show, which was like 100 times more successful than his radio, and so was perfect because he controlled the whole thing. And when we were hanging out when he first got the show, it was me and him and Kevin James. We were all eating dinner at Jerry's Deli, and Ray was like obsessive. Maybe if I have the guy come in like this, and just kept going. Like, he was like obsessed.
That's his own show?
Just putting it together perfectly. You know, he was really like trying to construct it in his head. You know, he was obsessed with it. There wasn't any good luck at all with him.
I heard with him that he had taped this HBO special back when it really meant something.
Mm-hmm.
And they were holding it for like a year, year and a half. Where they're like, no, we're not ready to release it because we want to do this. And he's like, I'm broke. I need some money. Please, people will see it.
Right. Wow,
so those stories, I have no idea.
That's always a concern. When you have a special and you film it, you don't own it. And this is back before the internet. You know, mm-hmm. you could really get crazy and go, you know, I'm going to fucking release this on the internet. You guys can suck my dick if you're really that crazy. You know, if they caught you, though, you'd be fucked. If they caught you and they could prove that you took away the profits for your own thing. Like, they pulled my shit from YouTube, my own shit.
Yeah, I've had that.
Yeah. That's nuts. When your own bits get pulled off your own YouTube page.
Brian gave me the advice.
Because of copyright.
For the HBO said, he said, don't say HBO, because they'll do searches for that.
Ah, that's very smart.
Of Brian.
That's right.
Yeah, do you put that up online, your HBO set?
Some of it.
Are they going to do more of those, the Down and Dirties?
No.
No more?
No.
They didn't like it?
I didn't think got ratings or something. They didn't
promote it very well.
Yeah, not really.
HBO does not really handle comedy that well. I think they decide to promote. But too often, like, it seems like they're just trying to put things that are, like, different.
That new one is all sober comedy. That's a new series of, like, with Voss and Norton.
Oh, really?
Huh. With all sober people.
The good thing about that is a lot of the guys that are sober for a reason.
Oh, right. Yeah,
So they've got some great stories.
Yeah.
You know, so they're all...
It ain't church sobriety. This is like, I fucked up my life sobriety.
There's a lot of dudes like that. There was a lot of dudes that were doing the clean Christians of comedy.
Christian tour, yeah.
They were
making bankloads.
Oh, my God. And they would do all like arenas. Kids.
Yeah.
They would do arenas, like big church arenas in the South, like giant fucking places. And just terrible, hackneyed comedy.
And he came in and he said, ma'am, that's not my hat. Seriously, though. It's all for him. It's all for Chris.
Like, just really, like, you know, and this is a big push for that with a lot of people. Like, they want the lowest standard possible. You're going to submit, you're going to broadcast the lowest possible standard. And there's so many people that want to hear that, whether it's in country music or it's Sarah Palin talking or it's, you know, they want no difference between you and them. You're just as smart as them. You don't talk down. And in fact, you talk them up and make them out to be much more than they really are. And that's like a big...
And if you're religious, it's like, it's for the grace of God or whatever, they get into it. It's like, cool.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so spooky that we've gotten... Our culture has made things so easy for idiots to survive. There's so many people that do so many different things that are so useless, and they're going to be replaced by robots.
I said on The Simpsons, Ned Flanders, what they watch, like the comedy concert, and he goes, that was the worst Christian rock concert I've ever seen. He throws his ticket down and says, Chris Rock. And he goes, so many F words.
That's hilarious. Oh, that's hilarious. The worst Christian rock show ever. That's hilarious. Yeah, I just think... It's so easy to be a retard these days because there's so many other people that you join with. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the video? The guy was a comic who interviewed these people waiting to see Sarah Palin at a book signing. There was like a whole fucking giant line of people, and it's like 3 degrees outside. They're freezing their ass off, and they're waiting for hours to come in and meet Sarah Palin. And so this dude goes and interviews them and asks them questions. What do you like about Miss Palin's policies? And it's all the same nonsense. Nobody has a clue. But in all fairness, I've seen the same thing with Obama. You know, when they interviewed people that they're
they got no idea.
Obama, they just know he's black and he's talking really good and he's good.
Who did the thing? I think it was Baba Booey or Stuttering John or something. So it might have been Stern or it might have been Leno. But they went, or it might have been someone else completely, but they went downtown and asked about, what do you think about Obama? What do you think of his running mate, Sarah Palin? People are like, I think she's great. I think she's great. Like, are you a Democrat or Republican? They're like, Republican. And they're like, what about,
you know,
Joe Biden.
It's been like that forever. I watched that Gonzo, that documentary on Hunter S. Thompson, and back in, you know, the 1970s when he was writing Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail, it was the same thing. They were asking all these different people, like, who are you voting for? And no one had a fucking clue.
Yeah, why?
No, not that guy. And I'm just like, who the fuck are you voting for? And that guy's vote counts just as much as a scholar.
Yeah, they're like, Obama, so you know he wants to go to war with Iraq more. How do you feel about that? And like, well, I'm for it.
Do you think that Obama has any say, or do you think it's all horseshit? What do you think literally happens when you win? Do you think that you've been briefed before you ever win as to this is what's going to happen? You're going to be given an agenda. You're going to be asked to follow certain protocol. You will consult with these people before any decision, before any press conference. It will be reviewed.
Yeah.
I think there's some of that,
but I think you're also just met with checks and balances. It's way harder to get things done than you think.
Right.
You know, and you have to make allegiances, and you have to give certain things in order to get, like,
that,
all,
definitely.
You know,
Definitely. There's definitely a lot of that. There's definitely
and
a lot
of. If you want to just get something done, politics. It's not that easy.
No. No, it's not. But what's with like him saying that he want? Was it all bullshit? That he didn't want to have troops over there? And then all of a sudden he pulls them out of Iraq and sends them off to Afghanistan? What is that all
about? Because I think he realized, like, oh, I can't just pull them out. So it creates a vacuum of power that'll be, you know, terrible. And
right.
What I wanted to do, now I know more and I can't
do
it.
Is that what it does? You know, what I think what they've got to do at some point in time, they've got to have some math. If they really want to get people to like the United States and other countries, there has to be some massive goodwill operation where we go to these impoverished countries, these places that have been wrecked by war, by devastation, by all these different things that are going on, and we have to help the fuck out of them. Because if we don't do that, then other people are going to look at us and go, why would we look up to the United States? Just because it used to be? Just because it's the biggest superpower because they have the most missiles? You know, why would we give a fuck about them? And if the people at the very top aren't the most generous, mm-hmm. then the whole system below you seems unfair and people get fucking pissed off.
There's something in the Old Testament where it's the or light unto the nations.
Yes.
It's supposed to be, you know, lead by example of what you want them to do.
Sure. If you're in that position, if you're in the position to be generous, if you're in the position to help, if you're in the position, it's just, we're just ganking shit. That's the problem. We want the oil. Fuck you. Give us that natural gas. Suck it.
We're going to get,
you know, where's those poppy seeds? Where's the heroin grown? Right here? Shut the fuck up and sit down. We're bringing in guns and tanks and fucking jets, and we're going to have spaceships that fly around you by remote control and shoot missiles into canyons and shit.
Yeah.
Dude, you ever watch those videos online? They have videos of them launching missiles from, like, helicopters and shit at these people that are walking with donkeys. I mean, it's fucking nuts, man.
Should be walking just, there.
They're walking. You see them, like, walking up the hill. Like, we've got the target. Shall we engage? And you see it, like, in this,
do they
like,
have arms in the donkey's case or something?
Who knows? Who the fuck knows what they're doing? I mean, you know, it could have been somebody who said the wrong thing to some fucking general. Who knows? I don't know what they did. I mean, I'm just watching a video. It could be that they're, you know, some high-level operatives and they're moving through their secret cave hideouts. And who the fuck knows?
John Heffron's watching.
Powerful John Heffron. That was the
Also, the comedy club at Skyline Comedy in Wisconsin.
Powerful acting class. What are you saying?
Skyline Comedy Club is watching, and they were like, come to Appleton, Wisconsin.
Where's John Heffron playing next?
Wisconsin.
Where is John Heffron playing next?
I've only been to Wisconsin once. I went to some crazy summer festival that they have.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was outside in a tent. Thousands of people.
Was it awesome outside?
Yeah, it was a really great crowd. But it was like a lot of people with babies and shit. And I'm just saying, oh, this nasty shit. I'm like, I'm sorry, folks.
Babies don't bother me nearly as much as like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, there was kids too, man. There was everybody. And I did all my shit because there was a lot of young people in the front. Like, there was a majority. It was like hundreds and hundreds of young people.
Yeah.
And then behind them, there was like a mixed bag. But the people that were sitting were all like, you know, your average comedy club audience. There was just a bunch of people outside. And the people were standing up and walking around. And it's in a big, giant tent. It was so strange.
Yeah.
But I only do it once because I was too dirty. They would not have me back.
John Heffron's in Atlanta.
Where's he at?
Punchline?
Punchline.
Powerful John Heffron. Very, very funny guy. Funnier every time I see him.
Go see him.
John Heffron's great. He should come to Arizona. Well, I think John Heffron will tell you that he would love to come to Arizona if the improv comes with the shekels. You know what I'm saying? You got to come with the shekels for my man, John Heffron. So what do you think about Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne went to jail. Well,
it's about time.
You think so?
Yes.
Just another one.
Ari... Lil Wayne, rapper. He is crazy tattooed up. Have you seen how much he's tattooed up?
His whole body's done.
Yeah, we got to put that online for people who haven't seen it because it's fucking bizarre. Like, it's so crazy. Like, it's hard to believe that this dude has this many tattoos. I mean, like, his whole body's fucking tattooed.
Oh. Ready to wrap it
Shut the fuck up. We're looking for Lil Wayne tattoos. You need some coffee, son.
I got so much shit to do.
What do you have to do?
I have to go to Macy's.
Okay, sounds hard. What do you got to do there? Right away, I would never trade lives with you. Right off the bat, that just sounds
this
so horrible that there's no way I wish that upon my worst enemy. Okay, gotta go to Macy's.
Gotta go to Macy's.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a new one. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good new one. God damn, this dude's got a lot of tattoos. Look at this shit. Oh my God. That's incredible.
Cash Money?
Yeah.
Nice.
This is incredible.
He's in a position where it really just doesn't matter. I guess he's not going to get a job.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have to do that ever. Man, that's nuts. I'll put this up on Twitter. It's crazy, man. The dude just went off and tattooed his whole body. That's like a big
trend. Did he do it all at once? Now. No.
I don't know, man. Soulja Boy seems to have. That Soulja Boy dude did the same thing. Tattooed his face, tattooed his hands, tattooed his chest, his whole arms. He just went nutty.
If you're Googling Soulja Boy and you can't find it, you're spelling it wrong.
Yeah, it's like a brother, Soulja, S-O-U-L-J-A, holla.
And also Google Soulja Boy Ice Cream Kitty.
Ice Cream Kitty.
Yeah.
Powerful, Shafir. Shafir, you got to unblock me from your Twitter. Don't be rude. I can't even follow you.
I'm
not rude.
You guys both fucking bug me too much.
We can still read it.
You just have to go make a search for it.
I promise I won't bug you anymore.
No, it still lets you just go to your...
We can go to the website.
It's not true.
No, it is.
Oh, you go to the website, yeah. It doesn't come up in your stream.
No, not on this. Yeah. Not on TweetDeck. But we can always go to your page and see what you're up to.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Put us back in.
But you can't fuck with me when I complain about wanting to commit suicide.
I won't fuck with you about anything anymore.
All right.
You don't really want to commit suicide. You just want to be happier. Right? Would you rather if you had the two options?
Right. Well, that's like saying you don't really want to throw a touchdown pass. You just want to win. However I get there is fine.
It's not like that.
I don't know if it's like that.
It's not like that at all.
Look at this. Life's a gamble. That's what Lil Wayne has to say about it. His whole body's like a fortune cookie. He's got little fortune cookie sayings all over his body. Wow, that's so weird. That's like really fucking really bad tattoos, man. It's weird. That's a real trend that guys are getting these really bad tattoos. It's like prison tattoos. But the crazy thing is, you know, he calls himself a gangster and all this crazy shit. But he goes to jail, and the first thing he did was go into protective custody.
Oh, because they're afraid of... How do you do that? You just apply?
That's a good question, man. I think you just
say... Did they have that in the plea ahead of time? Like, you can't put him in general population?
You
got
to say, my client is, you know, a very wealthy man who, you know, a lot of people could get a name off beating him up, and he's not a very big man, and he's concerned for his safety.
One of my favorite things is when idiots like us try to walk through the law and what we would say to a judge in order to get things done. We're only going off old Law & Order episodes that we're sort of guessing.
Yeah, old episodes of The Fall Guy and shit.
I think what you would have to do is tell a judge, Your Honor. Like, I don't even know what
to call remember them. When TV shows had you convinced that you could tell it, like, if a cop was like oh, yeah. an undercover cop, you'd say, "Are you a cop?" And they have to tell you the truth.
What? Yeah, I'm a cop.
You caught me. Yeah. You got off this time, Lefty. But next time, you're
Are
not.
You? Yeah, they would never gonna answer
trick
that
me.
Right.
You guys are never going to trick me. Like, what? They would never do that. They don't have to tell you they're cops. Yeah. That's ridiculous. You're doing something illegal. A cop can let you do that illegal shit. They can do illegal shit with you. They can do fucking cocaine with you to arrest you for cocaine. How about that? That's legal. And they can get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, how nutty is that? Because if they go undercover, they're going to have to do drugs with you. If you're doing drugs and you want to be a part of some motorcycle gang, and the motorcycle gang is doing drugs, you got
to
do drugs
There's
with
no
them.
Way you're not going to be able to. But yeah, I'm on TV, they'll be like, I don't just dump it off the side with the one special episode where they had to do it.
Yes, exactly. You know? They throw it, they fake it. Oh, amazing stuff. I'll give you an antidote pill. This will immediately nullify the cocaine. So as soon as you take it, make your way into the bathroom. It almost got me a drug.
Great for job interviews.
Yeah, exactly. I mean... You hear about that all the time with DEA agents. The DEA agents get addicted to drugs because they have to do them with these fucking people to get in with them. And then also, I think they just see that fucking lifestyle and they become crazy. They see how many people are getting away with it. I think if you were in the position to really be investigating drugs in this country, you would see there's so much drugs coming in. It's like an unstoppable force. And you would start wondering, like, what are we putting our resources towards? Why isn't this shit legal where they can tax it and make money off of it? You know, why can't they just go after the illegal people? It's just like Prohibition. When Prohibition happened in the 30s, all that shit did, or in the 20s, it was like, what was it then? Like 1933 or something like that? All it did was just made people that were more dangerous sell it. Yeah. Made people that weren't afraid to break the law. It just made organized crime stronger.
It kept it out of a lot of people's hands. It must have.
Do you think so?
Yes, it must have.
I don't know, man. I think it made people angry about getting busted with it and selling it. But I think
most people want to get drunk. I know, but aren't going to break the law or really risk it, you know? There's a lot of people who are like, oh, I guess we can't have it anymore.
I mean, did you ever research it or just speculate?
I'm just speculating, completely. But if they made cigarettes illegal, completely illegal, there's a lot of people who would stop smoking.
I wonder if it would be like Catholic schoolgirls and being whores.
Right. Because they're not all whores, though.
Catholic...
Well,
they're not all Orbs. There's a disproportionate amount.
Yeah, there are.
Let me tell you something. Growing up around a lot of Catholic school girls, it was common knowledge amongst my friends that Catholic school girls
go crazy. The fuck off. Religious Jewish school? Not really not.
Well, I think Catholicism is so ridiculous that I think even, like, look, when you're dealing with a religion where a gigantic percentage of the men who are in power are fucking little kids.
Another one got caught. Then they said he was gay.
It's
another anti-gay rights.
Oh, no, that was Roy Ashburn. Yeah. That was the guy who was, he was the guy John behind Jordan. Proposition 8. He got caught, and he admitted he was gay. But that guy's not a priest, and he's not fucking kids. He's just gay.
Oh, right.
You're like, they're all the same. Faggots, fucking pedophiles. you lump this guy in with a pedophile priest. But that religion is so ridiculous that there's a giant percentage of the men who are pushing this religion are also fucking horrible pedophiles that ruin people's lives. If you know anybody that's Catholic, if you grew up in a Catholic community, you know a bunch of people that have been molested. Everybody knows somebody. I know two people that got hit on by priests. I know my friend Tony, he had a fight off a priest, and my friend John had a fight off a priest. They get attacked, these priests fucking drool on them and breathe on them, pull their dicks, and my friend Bo, another dude. I know three dudes that got attacked. They're all Catholic.
I know a girl had a settlement, Catholic. Got money from a settlement.
Dude, there's so many settlements. If you stop and look, do you know New Mexico has some crazy-ass fucking law, or they used to at one point in time, where you could... if you had sex with a girl, like a man could not have sex with a girl, like it's normal age, like the age of consent was like 18. But if a man to have sex with a boy, the age of consent was like 13.
Really?
It's fucking crazy. And the reason why supposedly this was enacted is that the Catholic Church put pressure on them to keep this in place so they could fucking ship all their sweet boy ass
and they to New Mexico. Illegal and they could
sneak it. I don't know if this is true. This is all speculation. This is all on the internet.
Fact,
but I do know
saying.
That the fact... Oh, no, that's speculation. The fact is that the age of consent for male to boy was 13. That's fucking nuts, man. Same-sex males was like 13, whereas opposite sex, like boys and girls. What's really crazy now is this sexting thing, man, where kids are going to jail for child pornography because they're taking pictures of their pussy.
They came down at some point with like a no tolerance. I don't care if you made it. You can't have it on your hard drive. No one can have it. Well, and with those laws, like, we can't make an exception for anyone.
They're attacking sluts for sending developing pictures of their pussy to guys. They're attacking girls for being silly. It's basically the same thing.
Well, they said
this.
You
show me yours, I'll show you mine. Yeah. We all played that when we were kids.
But then the problem is, then it gets out to fucking pedophiles and makes them go crazy. That's what they said. They don't want anyone to have it.
About this twice, by the way.
Really?
So we're talking about it again.
The point is, send us some sweet pictures of your 13-year-old bush.
Right, this is important shit. It's a fascinating goddamn
story. It's important to the other times we've talked about it.
Brian, shut the fuck up. Don't cut off a juicy conversation. It's fascinating shit, man. The idea that you can put kids in jail because they take pictures of their pussy. You know, the dude sends a picture of his dick to some girl in school, and now he's locked in a cage. You know, that's silly. People throughout time, there's a charge in whipping your dick out. If you cover someone's dick up, they're going to want to whip it out. You know, we all live naked and free. You know, you wouldn't have to worry about this shit. But then people would start fucking way earlier.
Yeah.
Right? If we all live naked and free, you wouldn't be able to trust anybody everywhere.
Someone would actually fuck by accident. It would have to happen.
I wonder how much suppression, you know, we really have by walking around naked. Like, how much different we'd be if we walked around naked. You know, by walking around all clothed up, I wonder how much more different our behavior is.
I will tell you this. This is the comparison. Is that, so any sort of nudity is like a novelty. When I was Shomer Nagia, when I wouldn't touch women, you know?
Uh-huh.
When I would touch them, even on the arm or something, like, oh, it was like an electric sort of feel.
Wow.
Like, I was way more sexual. So I think covering up and stopping yourself makes you more sexual.
Yeah.
So that if you're completely unclothed, you'd be way calmer.
Makes it more urgent.
Yeah.
When I first came to L.A. and I first acted in a sitcom, I didn't like being here. I didn't like this. The whole sitcom situation was really bad. There's a lot of negative energy in the set, a lot of fighting going on between the network and the producers and the writers.
Yeah.
And I'd broken up with my girlfriend and I moved out here and we were still talking on the phone, but I didn't know anybody here. And I was out here for a few weeks. I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't hang out with anybody. And then this chick, we were laughing about something. She gave me a hug on the set. And she gave me a hug, and it was the best feeling in the world. It wasn't like a regular hug. Like, she hit me with this hug, and I was like, it was like I needed it. Like, she gave me a glass of water. Like, you know? And it was just a hug, man. She was just being nice, and she gave me a nice hug and rubbed my back. And I was like, wow, that felt so good. Yeah. I just felt, you need that shit.
It's human contact.
Yeah, if you go like a few weeks or a month without touching anybody, that guy that we were talking about earlier that lives in the Arctic, he went, I think, 8 months at one point by himself. Just up there hunting, and he said it was way too much. He said he went crazy. That guy's just living wild, man. You got to see that's on VBS TV. I think his name is Haimo. Hindmost Arctic Refuge. Just look up arcticvbs.tv. It's fucking incredible, man. Like, one of the most incredible documentaries ever. You stop and think about it, like, this guy's chosen to live like that in this day and age. Whereas we think if we had to live like that, it would be hell. Like, Brian, how do you think you would feel if, like, all of a sudden civilization dropped off, there was no power, and you had to fucking light fires with wood and kill animals to stay alive, and it was fucking freezing cold out, and you were in animal skins and shit?
It'd be awful. That's why I couldn't live on top of a mountain. I couldn't be like that, because if that shit did happen, I don't want to be on top of a mountain doing it all by myself. I want to be, you know, around civilization.
But what if you're around civilization and there's no food, no one's growing anything, there's a lot of mooches and chaos? Like, well, that's when you want to be somewhere self-sustaining, right?
Yeah, but I mean, my family grew up on farms, so I, you know, to me, it's just like, wow, what, you just plant some food, you know, everything. By the time the food runs out, we'll have tomatoes, we'll have, you know.
Man, you have to have a serious work ethic to run a farm.
So you can't slack off for 3 weeks.
I didn't know anything about farms until I started working for the UFC. And then you start talking to guys who are farmers. Guys who are real farmers. You know, talk to like Matt Hughes and all these guys. When they do like in-depth reports on these guys and their life. You know, Tommy Spears is another one. Like, they offered him a fight recently, and he couldn't take the fight because he was in the middle of the harvest.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like, that's real shit. You know, these guys, they're out there.
You can't train for it. I know, I gotta be working right
now. They're fucking working, man. They're working all day, every day, and it's brutal. It's hard work. And there's like a mentality that a lot of these guys love the work. There's something very satisfying, something, you know, that goes back to our days when we first discovered agriculture. You know, it's like a visceral human reaction. Like, you feel rewarded for having produced all this food.
There's a fable that, so much Jew shit. There's a fable that God, because he loves his children, gave us a plentiful cattle and crops without us having to work for it at all. And the man went crazy and started warring on himself.
Well, that
so
is...
then he took that power away, and then you had to actually toil the soil, and then people were way calmer.
Brian, what are you doing? Why are you unplugging?
I gotta take off.
I gotta take off too.
Okay, don't just unplug. Is the show still going on?
It's not doing anything. I'm not having batteries.
What are you doing, son?
Calm down, Joe.
I don't even remember what we were just talking about.
I don't know either.
What were we just talking about, Brian?
Farms and...
I think that's why hunting this guy, Heimo... I think that's his name, that lived in the Arctic. That's why he was talking about how satisfying it is to be a hunter and gatherer. You know, that he thinks that's where civilization fell apart. That man is most happy when he's out there providing for himself. He says he loves it. He loves living up there, just hunting and fishing and getting his food that way.
It makes him happy. It's like, fuck it, go for it. Who cares?
Maybe there's something to it, though. Maybe if you did it, too, it'd be, like, ultra-stimulating.
Maybe.
I mean,
I think it's one of those everybody's different situations. He loves it. Other people wouldn't.
But he's doing, like, natural exercise every day. Every day he's hiking, and he's shooting caribou, and he's dragging the caribou back, and he's cutting the meat, and he's hanging it up. You know, I mean, it's like...
He's not lazy in front of his computer all day long.
No, he's got a laptop, but he's not online. You know, it's fucking incredible, man. It's really, what a wild way to live your life.
Yeah.
You know, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it, right?
Yeah.
This is a long-ass one. 2.5 hours, bitches. That's how we roll. We are going to be at the Tempe Improv this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Jump on it. Saturday night is basically sold out. There's only like 20 tickets left this morning. The second show is 20 tickets left. The first show sold out. And so it's gonna go quick. Thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in every week. You can get it on iTunes now. If you go to iTunes, the Joe Rogan podcast is up. And you can download all the ones that we had before. It's all thanks to that, man. Thanks for that, man. Thank you to Brian. Brian put it all together. He designed my new web class. He's the motherfucker, ladies and gentlemen. Powerful, super genius computer wizard. And so that's it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Holla.
Later.